about.
This whole segment is an economic and spiritual disaster.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Here's the next question about Sloan as we get to know Sloan this season on Entourage. Does she have a webcam? Hello?
Be the interview killer.
I know. Sexual harassment, yada, yada, yada.
Be the dick.
Don't never, ever trust Whitey.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Yesterday afternoon, Parker offered a cookie to Cindy Lou Peoples if she would show him her vagina.
What kind of cookie?
Kevin Ryder! Kevin! Kevin! Kevin, can you talk to me real quick, please?
Hey, f*** off.
Kevin, yes, I am.
And now.
The best part of making up is with two girls and one cup.
No. Our feature presentation.
That is not how you want to wake up.
Hey, Stripey.
Wow. Oh, that was funny. What'd you knock over as you ran in here?
Everything I had. On the way in.
You just, like, threw it in the corner.
I didn't throw it. I'm telling you.
You just dropped it?
Yeah, it just flew. It just fell.
The new MO, by the way, a couple of lines open if you want to get in on Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew for a, what's today, Wednesday? Thursday?
Thursday.
Where are we?
Thursday.
Thursday. Call 1-800-520-1067. The new deal for Kevin is he comes in during and now. That's when the door opens.
Yeah, today it certainly was. And the odd part is I was here a little early for me. I was here
you
about
were?
5 minutes ago.
Well, where were you?
Well, my key card, which I have, it made the gate beep. When, you know, when it reads it, beep, nothing happened.
But
the gate wouldn't
open.
No. So I did that about 15 times. Then it says, if you need help after hours, press this phone line. And it goes to an answering machine in the promotions department.
Really?
And I don't know how that's supposed to help. Because for the most part, it's only after hours, and they're rarely there.
You're absolutely
There's always
right.
someone on the air, but so I could have left two messages. That didn't help. So then the intern came out and put her key card on it, and it opened up. So then I tried my key card on the door. Didn't care.
It didn't work there either?
Nope. Beeped. It does
so
make
you finally,
a noise.
You finally found your key card, and now it doesn't work.
Correct. Correct.
That's a that's a string of bad luck.
I think I've been fired. They already turned off my key, but they gave me the benefit of the beep. At least it's reading my card, and then it's saying no.
They don't want you to get mad, so they want you to think it's a technical error that they're going to work on. But for the rest of the week, maybe you should just stay home.
No.
All right.
This is the equivalent of finding out your password has been changed on your work computer.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
That's what this is. So somebody somewhere in security is probably ticked that you got into the building somehow because they thought that would be the way to get the message to you. And they were supposed to have a security guard out there ready to meet you and escort you back out.
I sat there for about 4 minutes just beeping. Sure did. Wow. I'm going to try it again. Sure going to try it again. Beep, beep, beep.
Hey, speaking of interns.
Yes.
I never got to meet, who's our intern yesterday? The fat, dumb one?
Penguin.
Penguin, yeah. Penguin quit yesterday.
He did?
I didn't know that.
He sent us an email resigning.
Why?
Saying it was his last, yesterday was his last day. Penguin out.
Really?
Yeah, and I want to know.
What happened?
Because I know I hate him, yet I never met him or had a single conversation. I wondered if you guys knew why or if you did something yesterday that made him throw in the towel.
Our producer, Alex, is the she's the head of the intern program.
Yeah.
She's the intern wrangler?
Yes.
Actually, it's Dave now. Dave Sanchez has gotten the torch. But I got the same email. He sent the three of us an email, Kevin, but you don't check your email.
What happened to him?
What happened is he sent an email, and he said it was very formal. He was trying to be very... very polite, but the problem with Penguin is his grammar isn't that good, his spelling, so it's kind of like reading a Doto email.
Right.
But Mike almost threw up in his hands, you know? That was not pleasant to watch.
No.
Basically, he said, Wednesday, August 26th was the last day of my internship, and I was like, wait a minute, that was yesterday, you didn't even say goodbye to any of us? Apparently, he got another job.
Oh, good.
That, you know, another internship that he would like to pursue instead, but it was written... I found it funny, Bean, I don't know if you did, that he had this long career paved in radio because of us, and he couldn't have broken in if it wasn't for us. And thank you. And he wished us the best of luck.
The best of luck.
Yes, he did.
For
we need
for
luck.
Our future. So it was just kind of odd the way it was written, and that he was a pussy and did it on email and didn't do it in person.
How about that?
Yeah.
awesome.
Well, he was
so
he was a horrible
ass off for greener pastures.
Good for
Lisa,
him.
Lisa, we paved the way for him in the industry. If it wasn't for us, he couldn't. Clearly, everyone knows the Penguin.
That's odd.
He's doing mornings now with Big Boy.
Wow.
Wow.
Is that where he went? Is over to that station?
I have no idea. I don't know.
I just started in radio, so this opportunity would not break me if it didn't come through.
Yeah,
now,
totally.
I read that a few times, and still I'm not sure what he's trying to say.
I think he meant he wouldn't have been able to break into this opportunity if it wasn't for us,
right,
kind of thing.
He has a new opportunity. Right. But why wouldn't he tell us what the new opportunity is? I don't care. I wouldn't.
Because he thinks we're going to harbor some industry like rivalry. If I run into him and he's at K-Earth, I'm going to be like, oh, I'm not going to talk to you anymore.
That's odd.
You guys were great, comma, and I hope there, T-H-E-I-R, isn't any bad feeling between us, comma. I would like to think that if you were in my position, you would have done the same thing.
We probably would have, whatever it is.
I don't know. I think notice is probably what I would have thought.
Yeah, you would do the same thing, but you might tell someone.
Right.
You might give notice. Yeah, you might work a couple of weeks, give him the opportunity to replace you before you just leave him high and dry. Not that we're going to miss him that much. Let's face it, he's pretty worthless.
Yeah, he wasn't a little lippy.
He wasn't the best intern that we've ever had. Let's just put it that way. But I don't wish him any ill will. Godspeed. More power to you. Enjoy. Enjoy life.
Have fun at AMP.
Have fun wherever you are. All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. Get on the air, get a prize. Today it's a brand spanking new Kevin and Bean t-shirt. Why don't we start with our friend? I assume this is Jeremy in Korea, calling, listening online, I think.
Yep, he listens in South Korea. He's usually drunk by the time he calls us because it's around midnight there. Hey, Jeremy.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Jeremy.
How are you?
We are good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. I have a funny story.
Okay.
I started school this week. Summer vacation, started school. Talking to one of my Korean teachers, and I asked her, like, how was your summer vacation? She was like, it was okay. I went to Germany.
Okay.
I was like, oh, how was it? She was like, it was beautiful, but the people were really, really mean. I was like, really? What do you mean? She's like, they wouldn't help me. And Koreans can't say Z's. They say Z's as J's.
Oh, okay.
And so she wanted help trying to find the zoo.
Right.
But she was walking around Germany asking the Germans, where is the Jew?
Oh, awesome.
They thought they were the victim of a new Borat movie or something.
Yeah.
Where is
so
the Jew?
And she didn't understand what was so funny and why they were mean. And I was just like, well, something called the Holocaust.
That's awesome. And what are the chances that would be the case, you know, in Germany?
In Germany, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's
wow.
Pretty funny.
Religion isn't big here, so she really didn't understand that the Jew is a religion. I was just like, that's really bad.
Yeah, that's funny. Wow.
I was like, well, I have a funny story.
All right, you're the best. Man. Are you drunk now?
I'm taking Korean classes, so I just got out of my Korean class like 40 minutes ago, but I'm currently drinking, yes.
Drinking, okay.
Of course, yes. Hey, before you hang up, Jeremy, let me hear you say something in Korean. I want to hear what that language sounds like.
Gochu mogo sepayo?
Hey! What? Not bad.
What was
not
that?
Not bad.
Well, we don't know if he was just making noises.
Well, I'm saying at least his accent sounded natural, though.
I'll break it down for you. Mok means like eat.
Eat.
And then gosipoyo means
a bag.
So I just asked, and then gochu.
Yes.
Gochu is Korean for something that starts with the P and ends with the enus.
Nice.
So I just ends with it.
How are we ever to figure out that?
No, you're too vague. You're not giving us enough hints, Jeremy.
Oh, you're the best, Jeremy. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Myron. Hey, Myron.
Speaking of where is the Jew?
What's going on?
Do what, nephew?
Do what?
Do what, baby boo?
What's going on, dude?
Hey, I got a little bet I need to settle with my buddy Josh over here.
Okay.
You guys got a soundbite of that girl that screams, you are a murderer of love?
You are a murderer of love!
He said it's from the movie Princess Bride, and I'm telling him it's not.
He's so from the movie Princess Bride.
Yeah, and I'm telling him that it's not.
So you win if it's from anywhere else.
Yes.
All right. Bean?
Well, you win then.
Yes.
Do you remember where it was from?
I do. It was from a. It wasn't a great movie, but it starred Steve Carell called Dan in Real Life. That's the name of the movie that soundbite came from.
I love that movie. By How about the way. That? I think that's a great movie.
Do you win any credits, Myron?
Oh yeah, I got $100 with you, boys.
Nice.
Nicely.
Wow.
Yeah,
well, your friend was off by about 30 years, so you do win that one. Congratulations.
But 30 years, not bad.
Yeah.
Very close. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay. Yeah. Murderer of love!
That's why you don't want kids, right?
Wow.
There.
Ouch. Bobcat Goldthwait is in the studio
yes.
today.
Yes!
He's got a new movie out that I watched yesterday and is great.
Really?
Oh, yes. You've seen it already? I'm so jealous. Yes. It looks great, and the reviews have been phenomenal for it.
It is really unique, and that's hard to say in movies.
Yeah.
It's really just bizarre. Luke Robitaille will be here.
Yeah!
It's hockey time again. Come on.
Kevin's so happy.
I'm so happy. It's been so long. You ran away from a first date, or somebody ran away from you on a first date.
I love these stories.
I do, too. I'll be right back. And then they just run. Just get away from that situation. We also have Crazy Gideon on the phone.
Yes, there we go. Oh,
apparently, we can no longer buy from him, so we both lose money.
That's what I hear, yeah.
He's the best.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. So we heard from Ralph Garman last night, who we fully expected to be back doing the showbiz beat today. You know, he had to go down for jury duty. And yesterday on the show, we gave him all sorts of tips on things to say that would make him undesirable, shall we say, for attorneys representing either side.
Right.
So he wrote to us and said, guys, I got to go back tomorrow. They're not finished impaneling the jury. And I wrote him back. I said, dude, what about peeing on yourself? What about my mom's a cop? My dad's a raper? What about all the tips that we gave you, right, to get out of it?
Right.
He's like, you know what, guys? Not it really is funny when you're standing there in front of the judge and you start hearing words like jail and contempt of court.
Yeah. Yeah, that does make a little bit of a difference.
Yeah.
And it did remind me of the time that Kevin and I went down to court, and Kevin represented me on a jaywalking ticket, and we were claiming insanity, remember?
Yeah.
And it sure sounds funny in the meeting. It sure seems hilarious in the parking lot before you hit in there when you realize you're doing it in front of a guy who literally, with a word, can have you hauled off to jail and legally.
And threatened to throw us in jail. We did. Yeah. We actually made the plea of insanity for jaywalking. And then the judge said, how about if I throw you both in jail? And that, then all of a sudden, it wasn't quite as funny.
No.
Yeah, it did quiet us down.
So the fun out of it.
So for all the great ideas that the Kevin and Bean Show listeners had yesterday on how Ralph could get out of it, he decided once he was in there to instead stay out of prison. That's the direction he went. So we'll find out hopefully later today that he was able to escape. But otherwise, who knows, man? Maybe he's on the next Menendez Brothers trial or something. You know, it's going to be one of those 9-month deals.
There's another Menendez trial?
No. I'm saying a trial like that he's going to be gone for like 9 months because he couldn't get out of it. So
he's going to be sequestered and all that.
Yeah.
In the meantime, though, we'll take a look at the showbiz beat. I did not imagine when I woke up this morning that I would have a Spencer Pratt story to start with because, you know, I'm trying desperately to never talk about Spencer again.
Right.
But he was doing an interview with MTV, and he referred to his wife as the new modern-day 2010 Michael Jackson.
What?
The host of the program that he was on, which I guess was after the show, that post-Hill show, said, you know, Michael Jackson is dead. And he said, yeah, but here it is. It's living like the Holy Spirit, like Michael Jackson's in heaven. The Holy Spirit now has Michael Jackson juice. So, boom. For all we know, Heidi gets possessed with Michael Jackson's divine spirit. This is what he said on television.
Yeah.
Wow, they're really losing it.
The host says... Let me get this straight. Heidi is the new Michael Jackson. Spencer says, oh, way bigger.
I'm sorry, way bigger than Michael
Jackson. Way bigger, ladies and gentlemen. Way bigger.
All right.
Wow. Yes.
She was on TV the other day saying he's going to one day be president of the United States. He believes that she is going to be bigger than Michael Jackson. So I guess they are lucky to have found each other.
That is good news. Wow. That is really great. Speaking of Michael Jackson, the Jackson's family decision to move his burial from a Saturday to a Thursday, which apparently they've done, because he's not been buried yet. When did he die? Late June?
Yeah.
It's been over 2 months.
Yeah. That seems bad.
Yeah.
And he was falling apart before he died. they decided to move it from a Saturday to a Thursday. The Glendale police...
Glendale.
...say it would have cost the family $50,000 on a Saturday. because they have to set up a perimeter and make sure that people, you know, safe,
right,
provide safety.
Take care
you know,
of that.
They say since it's a Thursday now, it's gonna triple in cost.
Why? Oh, because people are going to work and
just
stuff.
Just because it's during a work day.
A lot more traffic.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they're just throwing money around, but they just are not going to bury him. I think they're just going to change their mind each week. How about next Tuesday? All right, how about next Wednesday?
Oh, I got a dentist appointment. Can't do that.
So
what
weird.
Else you got?
It is weird. What's going to be left to bury when they're finally done?
Nothing.
Here's a couple of lists for you if you're interested in seeing what's popular and how it relates to your life. First is the top 10 television shows in America last week. You know, NBC has very, very few hits throughout the year.
Yeah.
Rarely do you even see them in the top 20. Except when America's Got Talent is on. It's the number one and number two television show in America again last week. And then it gets into a bunch of shows on CBS. NCIS is number three. My Dad's So Happy.
Yeah.
Two and a Half Men. Big Bang Theory. Big Brother 11.
Big Brother?
Who knew that was such a huge hit, right? For young people, I think there are three Big Brothers in the top 10.
Oh, my God.
What?
Then The Mentalist. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Big Brother 11 at number 9, and Hell's Kitchen rounding out your top 10. So that's TV.
Wow.
Now let's see what's going on the record charts. Billboard top 10. You ready for this?
Okay.
We love looking at this and seeing how many of these artists we play on the Kevin and Bean Show, which explains the skyrocketing popularity of the program.
Right, sure.
So just give me a big yes if we're spinning any of these hits. All right.
All right.
Number one best-selling album in America is the new one from Reba McEntire. Is that us?
No.
Not so much. All right. Number two, George Strait. Twang. Okay.
Yep.
Three is the new one from Third Eye Blind. No. Oh, number four, Kings of Leon.
Yes.
Only by the Night. We got that. Got them, right?
Yes, we do.
Five is the Black Eyed Peas.
No.
Six is the new soundtrack album from the Neil Diamond TV special.
Really?
Number seven is the Hannah Montana movie soundtrack.
No.
Number eight is Taylor Swift. Nine, Daughtry. 10, various artists. Now, that's what I call Music Volume 31. In case you're wondering, no, none of our artists.
Maybe there's one of our artists on there.
It's possible.
So you're saying we, as a show, have our finger on the pulse of society. That's what
I'm saying. Thank God for Sex on Fire and Use Somebody. I'm saying
no.
Kings of Leon are the only thing that we're close to on this list.
Wow.
Would you have guessed that Reba McEntire and George Strait and Third Eye Blind would be the 1-2-3 punch that America's loving right now?
No.
not a chance in hell. Billy Mays is still around. I don't know if you've seen.
No.
First of all, they're still using his infomercials.
I did hear that.
They're still
which
using.
Which is weird.
Which is odd because he is dead.
Yeah.
But they keep showing the infomercials because he's a great salesman.
Even dead.
And there's also Billy Mays stickers of his face that have been just going crazy. They're just everywhere. You look at TMZ, and there are a bunch of photos of a cat with a picture, and it's on a wall, and it's in a workout room, just his face with his beard. I don't know exactly where those stickers are coming from.
Huh.
That's awesome.
But they're exploding across the country, apparently.
Lucy May. Gene Simmons here.
Yes,
Gene. Hi, Gene Simmons.
Speaking of faces and sticking.
And exploding.
Thanks for helping him out, Lisa.
Sorry.
I love it. When that happens, though, like those Obey stickers that were so popular a few years ago, like the Obama clown stickers that are, you know, the posters that are all over the country now, I just think that's neat. I don't know why somebody does that. I guess they just get a charge out of people being startled when they see them somewhere.
I
would put a Billy Mays sticker up, I'll tell you that.
I think this came from his son, Billy the Third, and he put it up on his Twitter page, and then it just took off, I guess.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. Hey, we announced late in the show yesterday, if you did not hear it, that there is huge news about the new A-Team movie.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking forward to the A-Team movie, especially when you start to see the caliber of the actor that's going to be in it. Liam Neeson is one of the co-stars of the movie. Bradley Cooper is in the film. But, of course, the question is, who's going to play B.A. Baracus? Who gets the iconic Mr. T role in the A-Team movie? And a guy that we know personally from this show who lobbied for it got the role. Rampage Jackson. Quentin Rampage Jackson, the UFC fighter, is going to be playing B.A. Baracus. And I think he's going to be fantastic in that role.
It's a great choice.
That seems perfect for
him.
Yeah, there were a bunch of other people who were rumored to be up for it, including The Game and 50 Cent. But Quentin Rampage Jackson is going to be playing B.A. Baracus in the A-Team movie. Don't know when it's coming out, but I'm going to see it. I'll tell you that much.
Bean says as if he's going to go see a movie.
Sure.
All right, I'm out of stories. I got here late.
All right, I'll just do one more, and it is very sad news because we were all a flutter yesterday with the report out of a London tabloid that Megan Fox was in fact going to play Catwoman in the new Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
We so desperately want that to be true.
Sure.
But representative for Warner Brothers Pictures yesterday, who was contacted on the story, says it's just a rumor, and so far there's no script, there's no project, there's no start date, there's nothing to be cast in. It's just fanboys being wishful, is all.
Oh.
Wow. But once they see how happy it makes everybody, when you do get around to writing a Catwoman role, go ahead and, you know, put in a phone call.
Write it for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And go ahead and make it happen.
Get her to play it.
All right, today's celebrity birthdays. Psycho Mike, you may be the only one who remembers the famous WWF wrestler Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh, yeah.
He is 61. Best also, remembered for the Cobra Clutch, apparently, Sergeant Slaughter was.
Also a very popular G.I. Joe character. He crossed over into the cartoons. So, you know, that's relevant now with the big, you know, the movie out
there.
Right
you
now.
Go. There you go. The bass player for the Sex Pistols, Glenn Matlock, is 53 years old today. Sarah Chalk from Scrubs is 33.
Great.
Another one for Psycho Mike, former porn star Harry Reams turned 62. Chandra Wilson from Grey's Anatomy is 40, but the real reason we celebrate, and we're counting down the weeks until his limited run engagement happens on stage starting in November. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Pee-wee Herman, 57 years old today. And after nearly 20 years, he is back. Pee-wee is back in 2010, and that is the Showbiz Beat. Got to talk to a Kevin and Bean fan named Adam, who I guess we got tipped off to about his recent posting on Craigslist. Adam is rocking the 559, from what I understand. You say Fresno, we say Fres yes. Hey, Adam, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Hi. How you doing, man?
So on Craigslist, the headline is Saw with the likeness of Jesus on blade.
Yes, it is.
These people always fascinate us because, you know, it's always in a, you know, a tree bark or it's a shadow or something like that. And they swear it's, you know, the Virgin Mary or it's Jesus or whatever, whoever.
Well, what was the one a couple of weeks ago? Wasn't it bird poop on the side of a, like, on a car window, right?
That's right.
I think so, yeah. Yeah. And we couldn't figure out how that works exactly. But you have it on a, what is it, a carpenter's saw?
It's actually a miter saw, yeah.
Okay, miter saw.
The Cheeto lady, and I figured, well, I might as well give it a shot if she's making money, so.
Oh, I see.
A saw is better than a Cheeto.
So, but wait, so you're just trying to make money. How do you make money off this?
Oh, if I know, I'm going to try and sell the damn thing.
Well, that's what a lot of these people do, is they get the item, and then they put it on eBay, and then some fool buys it somewhere. So, are you a carpenter, Adam?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so what did you do to... Did you have to do something to the saw to get the smudge on that appears to look like Jesus, or did it just happen on its own?
We ran out of power one day, so I went and grabbed a miter saw so we could cut some trim for a fence. It was cedar.
Right.
And I didn't use the saw for 6 months. I picked it up and it had that likeness on it. And then about a month later, I heard about the Cheeto lady.
Right.
And she made $27,000 off a Cheeto. I might as well see if I can make a couple bucks on the saw.
I like it. I like it. Now, did you have any fear that it actually doesn't look like Jesus? Because we think it looks like a panda bear.
I didn't look at it like that. But I'm not worried about it. If somebody pays for it, I'll be happy.
See.
If not, I bought a saw for 12 bucks a year ago.
Okay, all right.
And I made out either way, so...
Yeah, so even if you just got $100 for it, it would have been worth your time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I'm looking at this picture that you posted. So visualize, if you can, the orientation of the photo and where the smudge is on the saw. What am I looking at in terms of if this were Jesus? Is it his face? Is it his whole body? What am I supposed to be seeing as I stare at this, Adam?
Face looking to your left.
That's the panda bear's face is looking to the left.
It's definitely
a
panda.
You can see the beard at the bottom, and you can see the hair at the top, and you can see the eye and everything.
And you see the eye. There's two eyes. It looks like an Asian mouse.
Yes, that's what I see. It's kind of like a cartoon character.
It's an Asian mouse. I can't see Jesus no matter how much I look at this saw.
Well, I think the picture doesn't do it justice then.
Okay.
But Kevin, if you were to write Adam a check for $10,000 and you owned the saw, then you'd be able to see Jesus.
That could be.
So, what are the other people at the construction site say when you said, "Hey guys, look, it's Jesus"?
They all agreed with me, but you kind of, you know how hard it is to take a picture of a saw.
No.
The image is only two. Well, try it. It's not easy. The image is only about 2 inches tall.
Right.
And I was taking a picture on my countertop, trying to, you know, get a bit the shine of the light across, and everything was terrible.
I got you.
Yeah.
I'm not a photographer. I don't know if you can tell.
No, I mean, the photo's fine. What's not fine is there's no Jesus in the picture. That's that. The only problem I have with everything you're doing is a lack of Lord.
Oh, man.
So,
what do you
guys
hate?
So, Adam, so you don't even believe this. You're just trying to make a buck.
Oh, I know. I believe it.
No, you don't believe it. Stop it. You believe it as long as there's a cash in it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. So you're on Craigslist. In what section, or do you have it in the for sale section?
Yeah, I do. I actually only believe it's in Fresno. It's in the collectibles section.
Collectibles. Okay.
I'm going to post it on eBay when I get home.
Soon. Yes, you are.
Are you getting getting any nibbles? Anyone anyone coming to you and saying maybe they might be interested?
I'm getting 30 to 40 people a day, but they all want to see it before they say anything.
Is that right? Oh, 30 yeah. to 40 a day, just based on you describing it.
It takes me a good 45 minutes to go through all of it.
Wow.
Wow. That really surprises me.
I'll post it on eBay and leave it at that.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. No, it's a – hey, look, it's a great idea. There are a lot of people out there who are really into stuff like this. They're looking for – you know, they're looking for signs from above. So if it works out for you, that's awesome.
Churches.
What's that?
You know, at least the internet site – or excuse me, the email site is – I believe it's a church – on most of them that are trying to get a hold of me.
Oh, really?
They want it.
The churches want it.
Yeah.
Oh, good times.
All right. Well.
All right, Adam. Well, listen, I'm so glad we found out about this. I'm so glad we were able to get you on the horn. And drop us an email. Let us know what ends up happening with this, all right?
Definitely.
Yeah, if you sell it for whatever you sell it for, let us know.
Not a problem.
As we'd like to go into business with you.
I will trade it. For 2 minutes of jumping jacks for Miss Cleo, though.
Oh. Yeah, good luck. We've tried everything we can to get that to happen.
That will not happen. Sorry.
You're awesome, dude. We're so happy to be back on the radio in Fresno, man. Thanks a lot for listening to us up there.
Thank you.
I'm on KevinAmin.com right now, and I'm taking a look at this video that we're about to hear some audio from on our radio show. It's Psycho Mike going and interviewing chicks in bikinis who are working at a coffee stand. And I'm sitting here thinking, if I had a daughter, I would pray that she would not be hot.
Yeah. No,
because
well,
so many bad things can happen if she's hot.
Right, but she also there's a lot of doors open if she's hot too.
Well, I would want her too. To be. I would want her to be attractive but not hot. That's what I would want. I would wish for something right in the middle.
Well, this guy has opened up a place in Southern California, in Torrance, and it's called Bikini Espresso. And that's because the girls that work there are in bikinis. So Psycho Mike decided he needed to go down with a camera.
Yeah. Wait, Mike volunteered for this assignment? He offered to go down there and interview the girls in the bikinis
and
who were making coffee?
What a giving offer that is from you, Mike.
And it was amazing how many other gentlemen in the video department volunteered to go with
him. Yeah, isn't that a
usually it's
shocking.
Tough to get them to rope them into something.
So the first person that he talks to is the owner, as he talks about bringing it to Southern California. And why?
I'm a native Californian. I love the beach. It's another day in paradise for me. I thought I'd make that come true. Bringing the beach a little closer to the people, you know?
See, he's doing the right thing. He's doing the Lord's work right there. Mm-hmm. So, Mike wants to know exactly how the employees are chosen.
Are you in charge of the hiring here at Bikini Espresso?
Oh, yes.
Is there a casting couch?
No. There's just a need to want to do something fun. Put on a bikini, look cute in it, and attitude is everything.
Is it mandatory that the girls be attractive and have nice bodies, or do you have to have a couple fat, ugly girls, you know, to keep the ACLU off your back?
I guess we could dress you guys up, but for the most part, no, I think we keep it, you know, as much as we can to the theme of the place.
I don't think you were asking if you could do it.
Right.
Yeah. You were asking if he's forced to hire bush pigs.
Right.
By the way, that's a great question, too, because I can just see somebody going in there who's got, you know, 32 years experience making coffee, not getting a job, and then suing because she's claiming she didn't get hired because she wasn't pretty enough.
And that's what's wrong with this country.
And everybody knows the cheerleading squad whose mother sued because her daughter couldn't get on, you know, but she was like, you know, a size 40.
Nobody wants to catch her when she flips. So Psycho Mike goes inside and talks to two of the employees who are quite cute, it turns out.
Oh,
oddly
surprising.
Enough, in their bikinis.
All right, well, let's go inside and check out what you have to offer, both on the coffee and the mammary front. All right, so what's your name?
Nicole Marie.
Jerrica.
How'd you ladies find out about Bikini Espresso?
Is her real name Jericho? That's awesome.
I sure hope so.
Yeah.
I found out through her, and I was interested right away because it sounded so awesome.
That's her. That sounded awesome.
So she said it was awesome, mm-hmm. and she found out through her friend.
I think these girls really enjoyed being in bikinis. They're probably, you know, South Bay beach beach bums, and, you know, this was perfect for them.
Let's face it. Nobody wants a job where they have to put on a suit and tie or, you know, a dress and pantyhose. Let's face it. If you have the opportunity to, if you're comfortable in a bikini and you have the opportunity to work in a bikini, that's a pretty awesome job.
Yeah.
You should be able to wear a bikini no matter where you work. That's my rule.
Is that what you think?
Yes, it should be if you work at a bank, but you're comfortable. Come on in.
Well, the thing about these girls and why they should be hailed as saviors is because a lot of times you go to, you know, let's say Hooters, for instance, and you're expecting really skimpy outfits, and they're wearing like the opaque nylons with the jazzercise leg warmers and a burka. And this place, they really went for it. They're wearing the skimpiest bikinis possible. Not a one-piece, not an Ethel Mertz swimsuit.
Right.
They're wearing the real deal.
That's a good reference, though, Ethel Mertz.
Yeah,
no, that's good. So Mike asked a question that I didn't think of, but I thought was brilliant, and that is about the same people showing up over and over.
Do you find you get a lot of return customers because the scenery is so nice here at Bikini Espresso?
I think so. I mean, we have a couple of customers that come in often during the day.
And do you ever find that they're asking for more than coffee, being that you girls are so beautiful?
Yes, a couple times throughout the day. Sometimes they're more discreet about it. Sometimes they're really blunt and it's really awkward.
they ever walk in here just pitching a tent and, you know, they say, "Hey, look, I'm ready."
No, not quite that blunt.
Well, I've found there's nothing better to mix your coffee with than a boner.
Yeah.
Well, oh my!
It's true.
Come on.
It's hard to argue, though.
Some
Lisa.
People like cream and sugar. It's nothing better than sipping on a nice cup of Joe when you're excited.
By the way, who like thinks that Mike's going back down there today to do another interview too? While we talk about repeat customers
with a fake mic and a fake camera.
Sure. Who thinks Mike went back a second time yesterday?
So then Mike asked a question that I wished he wouldn't have.
Are any of you girls pregnant? Because I figure the breast milk latte might be a unique product that might get a lot of customers coming in.
No, not that I know of.
Yeah.
Wow.
Everything went south right there.
Why would you even go there? Come
I
on.
I figured it would, from a marketing standpoint.
No.
It's
not good from a marketing standpoint. No.
It's unique.
What makes you think having hot chicks in bikinis that are pregnant is better than hot chicks in bikinis that aren't?
Well, I thought they might keep the pregnant chick in the back just producing like a heifer.
Come on.
Have a machine hooked up the whole time.
Yeah.
So he goes back out front and thanks the owner for such a great time.
Hey, thanks for coming.
Got any lotion, Gary?
Yeah, that was the end of it. So
that's
how that went. So you can see the video. Go to kevinandbean.com and watch it and enjoy.
For folks lucky enough to be within driving distance of the Bikini Espresso, where are they, Mike?
Torrance, California, right off Hawthorne Boulevard there. Like Kevin said, it's Bikini Espresso. I highly recommend it because it is just as advertised. Mm-hmm. Hot chicks in bikinis. Giving you coffee.
And they are also out in front with signs, you know, arrows and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, in
all
the
right.
bikinis, which is a nice, nice touch.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right, so you need some time to yourself. Okay, all right.
Breaking news. The economy has made Crazy Gideon even crazier.
$9.99 LCD or plasma TV.
Why the rooster?
When the rooster calls, my price go down.
If you love your mother, you buy a microwave for $49 at Crazy Gideon.
That's right, I'm crazy. Computer or laptop, only $1.99. DVD for $29, or DVD VCR for $49. Otherwise, I'll break my head. What do you want for my life? Downtown LA. If you don't buy for Crazy Gideon, you have a problem with your head.
I'm crazy, but I'm not stupid. You buy DVD for $69 and you get two movies free. If you don't buy for me, you're losing money. I'm crazy.
We're living crazy, but we're not stupid. At Crazy Gideon.
Shop while he's still crazy.
Yeah, he's not crazy anymore, apparently.
What? After 35 years, ladies and gentlemen, the legendary Crazy Gideon is retiring. We could not be any sadder about this news, although we haven't been shopping there in years. Yes, hey, Crazy Gideon, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
We are good.
We're very disappointed. It's been a number of years since we've spoken with you on the Kevin and Bean Show, but we're happy to hear you sound well and also sad to hear that your business is finally closing down.
Yeah, you know, it takes a lot to get me down, but it's, you know, it's time. I'm 35 years in the business, serving the public, doing a lot of good things, going to with the lowest price in town. Right now, the economy is not coming back. Electronic is out of business.
Right.
Everything is going to the internet. And time for me to retire.
If the economy was still strong, would you still be working?
Maybe yes. It would. You know. I have to stop the bleeding.
Right.
And the bleeding is going down. It's not stopping with the bleeding. It's very bad. people telling you, if somebody tells you his bleeding is better, he's lying. It's not good.
All right. Hmm. So, where do you place the blame for this, Crazy Gideon, on the feet of our so-called foreign-born president?
No, I'm not. The economy is bad. I don't know who to blame. The fact is, it's a combination of a lot of things. Some of it is because of the technology is so fast that they're going on the internet.
Right.
The people in the internet are not making money because they're selling it cheap. And they sell it without sales tax, without freight. So they're killing us. The car dealership are dead because of the internet. And the electronic business is, a lot of things change in the electronic business.
Yeah, I buy electronics almost exclusively online.
Yeah.
Because you can always get the best deal. But there's
the cars coming today with the new technology. You don't have to buy a car stereo separate. The computers are right now in the bottom of the pot. You buy a computer for $300. I sell computer for $169 laptop, which is refurbished, and you can buy a brand new computer today for $300 on the internet. The TVs, you don't make money anymore, and the overhead is very high.
So your
taxes are high.
So you're not crazy anymore?
I'm crazy more than ever, but I'm crazy enough to say the hell with everything. I'm going to buy a surfboat, go to Malibu Beach, and catch the waves.
Nice. Oh, that sounds great.
Crazy? Gideon coming through.
When I started, I was a lifeguard. Now I'm going to be a lifeguard again.
Nicely done.
So, what are your memories, Crazy Gideon, after 35 years selling electronics in downtown Los Angeles? Do you have some fond memories of those times, too?
It is wonderful. I met some beautiful people. I did a lot of business, a lot of charity involvement with law enforcement. Everybody is my friend. I have so many good friends in the legal department, so many good friends in the management of the city, and I'm still going to be involved with a lot of charities, a lot of good stuff, a lot of good people, and I do what it takes, and life is beautiful.
So you're no longer stacking them deep and selling them cheap, though.
I stack them deep and sell them cheap. City gave me a lot of money. I'm going to sell everything in my store. I must clear everything in my store.
Oh, it's not closed yet. It's not closed yet. You're still selling stuff.
I'm going out of business.
Okay.
And no reasonable offer will be denied at Crazy Gideon.
So you are.
I stack them high and I let them fly.
You stack them high and let them fly. That was my next question.
Sky's the limit. If you don't buy for me, we both lose money. I sell it so low that you cannot believe. The snake is as low as a snake on the floor.
That's correct. Yeah.
So you're at 70% off now.
Come to my store right now. Can buy merchandise for the lowest price. I sell all the appliances I've left to less than 50% off. I have merchandise up to 70% off.
Wow.
I've got Sony that I'm losing. $300-$500 plasma TV. I'm losing on everything. I need to clean the merchandise.
Just get rid of it. All right.
If somebody wants any electronic, it's a chance to buy to clear it out.
All right.
Okay, what is the last day your doors will be open, Crazy?
As long as I have the merchandise, I need to clean it out. I need to clear the building.
All right.
Crazy Gideon is clearing the building.
Okay. All right. So 830 Traction Avenue, downtown.
Traction Avenue, downtown LA, between 2nd and 3rd, east of Alameda. Wow.
Okay. So Crazy Gideon, do I...
My wife wants to divorce me. The police want to catch me because I'm selling too low.
Right.
And I'm going to the beach. I sell all the electronic and going to the beach.
So Crazy Gideon, are you retired for good? You will not work again, or will you start another business now that the electronics store is closed down?
You never know with me because I'm crazy.
You are crazy. True. That's true. You are crazy.
I do what he takes, baby.
All right. Well, we have enjoyed your commercials over the years. We've enjoyed the few times we've had the opportunity to speak with you on the Kevin and Bean Show.
And you guys are terrific. I'm listening to you every morning on the way on the freeway. You guys are terrific. You give me the energy to come in and to kick some butt.
Well, thank you, Crazy Gideon. Please enjoy your retirement and good luck with the closeout. All right, sir?
Thank you. Remember, if anybody wants a deal in electronics, should come to Crazy Gideon, challenge me, and give me an offer I cannot refuse.
There you go. Crazy okay. Gideon. You're the
Ladies
best.
And gentlemen, a great American.
Thank
great
you.
American.
I love you.
Bye-bye, Crazy.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 10 minutes till 7 o'clock.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Now, which sex is your oldest?
We have a boy, Joshua, that's 16.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Oh, you guys in your editing.
What do you suppose your intent was as you began that sentence?
I'm sure it wasn't to crash and burn, but that happened.
All right, here's an update from our friend Ralph Garman. We exchanged emails late in the day yesterday. He hasn't been able to get out of jury duty yet. He didn't lie in front of the judge, as we advised him to do, and he's still there. So he's going back for day two today. We'll see if he ends up making the final jury, but right now he's still in the pool of possibility.
He felt like, and I can back this up from personal experience, judges don't have good senses of humor, usually. They have a long list of things to get through.
Right.
Uh-huh. And they're not looking for yucks. They don't need you to give them a line so they can everybody can have a good time. Judges aren't into that much.
Yeah.
They don't show up, put on the robe, and expect shenanigans. They're really there just to make the law move faster, is what they're trying to do.
We almost got thrown in jail when earlier in our careers when Bean got a jaywalking ticket, and I went with him, and we pled insanity. And the judge threatened to throw us both in jail, and that's when we realized, I would have thought that was funny. Not the judge. Not even a little bit.
So hopefully today will be Ralph's last day, and he'll be back doing the Showbiz Beat tomorrow. But in the meantime, let's take a look at what's going on in the world of Hollywood. I got to tell you, as much as I love the Twitter, perhaps it is not best used for people who are emotional or upset. You know, some say that Paula Abdul derailed her multi-million dollar job because she just couldn't continue to go through channels with her people negotiating with American Idol. She got emotional and upset and quit on Twitter. And Fox looked at that as the opportunity. Okay, you're out. We're out too. Bye.
Yeah, it sure didn't take them long, did it, to put out a statement?
It didn't take them long. Like 20 minutes later, she was out of a job. Well, I don't know how this is going to work out, but it has been a very nasty separation and then divorce between our friend Travis Barker, the drummer for Blink-182, and his wife, former Miss USA Shanna Mokler. And he is all over her on Twitter. I don't follow her, so I haven't seen what she's been saying back, if anything. But he never misses out an opportunity just to go on there and talk about what a POS his wife is.
Wow.
And now it's kind of making the papers because, you know, he showed up at her home in Rhode Island yesterday screaming at her about how her uncle was a child molester and he shouldn't be allowed anywhere near the kids. And he's been tweeting all of this. And it's getting really ugly. She says he's not a child molester. Travis says he is. He doesn't want the kids anywhere near. Of course, it's a difficult time for him because he's out on the road. He's got the kids some of the time when he's out on the road, and he seems so unbelievably happy. You never hear about a father who's more into his kids than Travis is. But then every time he has to give them up to the ex-wife and he doesn't like the situation they're in, he's tweeting about it like crazy. So it's going to be – it's only a matter of time before there's some trial that's going to be known as the Twitter trial because the evidence is going to be nothing but reading transcripts of the Twitters.
Yeah, it's not a safe channel, it turns out.
Yeah.
It's not secure. Anyone can get it is the truth. You would think Shaquille O'Neal is a big enough name to get out of a ticket, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
especially with all the ties he has to law enforcement.
He's a reserve cop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, he was in Los Angeles, in Hollywood, and he was stopping his car in the middle of the road in front of, like, two or three nightclubs. So he would slow down and stop in the lane, and the cops saw him, and they pulled him over and gave him a ticket.
Really?
Yep.
What was he, like, checking out the talent?
I don't know if he was checking out the talent, or he had people trying to get him in, or he was sizing him up, but...
Huh.
Somehow he was stopping right in the middle of the road in front, and last night they gave him a ticket for it.
Has anyone seen that Shaq versus show that he does where he takes on athletes in their sport?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't abide that show. It was boring.
Really?
Yeah. I saw a clip last night of him getting spiked playing women's volleyball against Misty Mae Trainor, and she just nailed him in the face with the volleyball.
He's a likable guy, I think.
Yeah.
He is.
But he can't beat anyone at what they're good at because he's good at one thing and that's all.
And that's
he's not
it.
Playing anyone in basketball. So if he's boxing with Oscar De La Hoya or whatever, he's going to get roughed up.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Well, here's your Michael Jackson story of the hour. And, I mean, he was such a freak show when he was alive that I guess it shouldn't be a surprise that there are so many freaky stories coming out after his death. But there's yet another person coming forward claiming to be his son. This is a San Francisco man He claims to be Michael Jackson's 24-year-old son. Filed a claim yesterday in Los Angeles. His name, by the way, is Prince Michael Malachi Jet Jackson. He is requesting a DNA test to prove that he is the biological son of Michael Jackson. He submitted a birth certificate with his claim, one that lists the father as Michael Joseph Jackson of Indiana.
Really?
Which is the real Michael Jackson's name and state, as the father, and someone named Zerline Levette Dixon as the mother. So, and by the way, you probably have noticed that his name is Prince, which is the name of Michael Jackson's two sons that we know about that are acknowledged as his. So I don't know if this guy just spent the time to put an elaborate claim together to line all those things up, had a birth certificate made, changed his name to Prince. We don't know anything about this guy or how legitimate his claim is. But it is, every time a story like this happens, you go, dude, you're 24.
Yeah, well.
Where were you when you were 18? Where were you when you were 20, when you were 22? I mean, mm-hmm. Michael Jackson has been famous for a long time. If you really were, I mean, clearly the answer, I guess, would be, well, now there's money on the table from the estate that I want to get a claim in. But it seems like he would have had a rightful claim earlier.
Absolutely.
Also.
Yeah,
much
you think if he's going to start getting paid, he would have been interested a long time before now.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe Michael was paying him under the table or so? I don't know.
Well,
who knows?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting. Of course, TMZ.com is all over the story, so they're certainly going to be following. But I will be waiting to find out. I mean, Michael Jackson seems like the least likely celebrity to have knocked up a chick 24 years ago and gotten her pregnant.
It's hard.
You know what I mean?
It's hard
had a baby.
It's hard for me to believe he ever had sex, first of all. He just seemed...
Yeah, number one.
He just seemed totally, like, asexual at best.
Yeah.
But number two, it happened 24 years ago, and it's just now coming out?
And none of his kids were done in the regular way.
Right. None of his.
Right.
Were hatched
right, yeah.
in the regular way.
He didn't
way.
Knock anyone up
no,
that we
not.
Knew, that we know of. So it's
even
hard
his wives.
Yeah. Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
Us Weekly has a story of Kelly Osbourne, who's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. She told them that the producers came to her and told her that she needs to get a spray tan.
She's too white.
She is just too pasty and white. And it might hurt her chances, so I guess that's the new rage is the spray tan.
Yeah.
You go in.
It's
they
safe.
They have a gun that, like, sprays paint, and mm-hmm. they have spray paint that they put on you that's tan.
Listen to me.
Nope.
Wait, you're waving off Gene Simmons?
I'm sorry, Gene. We just can't do that.
You know, we were talking about Blink-182 a few minutes ago. I love the band. I was sad when they broke up and delighted when they got back together after 4.5 years. But even I was shocked to see how many tickets they were able to sell for this reunion tour. I mean, they are playing the biggest venues in America, multiple nights in every city, and the thing sold out in no time. I mean, there was a huge appetite for Blink-182. I bring that up because, in contrast, perhaps Creed, who is now back together, stayed out of the public eye a little bit too long and weren't quite as well loved. There's a story out today that the band was playing the Saratoga Performing Arts Center in Florida the other night. It holds 25,000 people. They sold less than 7,000 tickets for people to see Creed.
Wow.
You can't feel good about that.
No.
No.
That's rough.
Wow.
You're just shocked that nearly 7,000 people bought Creed tickets,
Who
right?
would buy Creed tickets today?
They sold tens of millions of records.
They sold 20 million of that one record.
Oh. I hate Creed, and I hate Creed's music, but I'm shocked to hear that. They sold so many records.
Right, but that was a moment in time, and it was inexplicable then, I thought, even. 20 million records or whatever. But I'm surprised that 7,000 people bought tickets to see that.
And that they expected, you know, to be able to fill a venue of that size of 25,000, too.
Exactly.
But, I mean, you don't know. I would never have predicted Blink-182 could sell out the number of seats that they're selling.
I think I would have predicted that they could sell out big venues. I mean, they were a big enough band for a long enough time.
Absolutely.
But they weren't as big as Creed. And look what Creed's doing.
Yeah, well, Creed's bad. That's the difference.
That is the difference.
There's a new movie, according to AbsoluteNow.com. It's called Black Swan. And if you are to believe the insiders on that, it stars Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis.
Yeah!
Yes and yes.
That's good.
Apparently, the two girls perform, and this is a quote, an extremely explicit scene in the thriller, which is described as ecstasy-induced, hungry, aggressive, angry sex.
Oh, God.
And the countdown begins.
Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis.
Oh, God. When is it?
It doesn't say when it is.
What's the date?
I don't have a date on that.
Go see.
Sorry.
And finally, you're going to love this one so much. Jessica Simpson, who, as you know, recently broke up with Tony Homo of Mike's Dallas Cowboys.
You said Homo.
Who do you think the worst person in the world is she could date next, Mike, to really get under Tony Romo's skin? Like, who would infuriate him that she would go out with next?
Honestly, the worst?
Yeah.
It would be Tom Brady.
Well, you're close. Washington Redskins quarterback Colt Brennan is apparently next in Jessica Simpson's eyes. Insiders say this is a huge stab in the back for Tony because the Cowboys and the Redskins hate each other.
Yeah.
Jessica must really want revenge. I've heard stories of everything from they're so close that they've set up webcams to talk to each other to he's been emailing her and sending her tickets to upcoming Redskins games. I don't know. If I'm Colt Brennan, and by the way, how awesome is Colt Brennan as a name? He should have been on Fastlane, that Fox show with Colt Brennan.
It's a great name, but I think he's like the second backup quarterback or third. I mean, he doesn't start.
I don't think he'll see the field.
Right. But it would still piss off Tony Romo if she's dating a Redskin.
Well, I don't know that it would because he's probably happy to be rid of her. But
yeah, maybe so. Maybe so.
It sucks that it's an NFC East quarterback, no doubt about it. But it would be much worse if it was a good NFC East quarterback.
That would help. Tom Brady would be worse.
Donovan McNabb was hitting it, you know.
And what's she doing? She's just going from quarterback to quarterback?
Well, I don't know.
So far. I mean, it's only two, but if she hits a third,
then
yes. Absolutely. That
doesn't just happen, I don't think.
No, I agree.
Well, I hope he hits that. That's all I say. I think that would be awesome. Let's see. Today's celebrity birthdays. How about this one? A name you haven't heard in a million years. MTV star Downtown Julie Brown. Remember her? She was a VJ for many, many years on the channel. She was the black one, not the funny white Julie Brown. She was the black Julie Brown. Downtown Julie.
I remember.
She had the accent. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. 46 years old today. Former porn star Harry Reams. Just for you, Psycho Mike, is 62. And weirdly, I heard that was his real name.
It's his
That's
real
hard
name.
To believe. Yeah. Just crazy. Chandra Wilson, who's fantastic Emmy-winning actress on Grey's Anatomy, turns 40. The bass player for the Sex Pistols, Glenn Matlock, is 53 years old today. The lovely Sarah Chalk from Scrubs is 33. But the real reason we celebrate today, ladies and gentlemen, the return of Pee-wee Herman coming up in a couple of weeks here on stage in Los Angeles. Pee-wee Herman, Paul Rubens, his real name. He is 57 today, and that is the Showbiz Beat. This is the Kevin Amici Show. Our friend Bobcat Goldthwait joins us next hour. He, of course, is the writer-director of the new Robin Williams film that looks fantastic called World's Greatest Dad. He'll be here. Luke Robitaille, one of Kevin's personal heroes from the LA Kings, will be here in the last hour of the show. Tomorrow, looking ahead, check this out, guys. Tell me if this is not a show. Rob Zombie on the program tomorrow.
Yes.
Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage, because it's Friday.
Yes.
Mother effing Quentin Tarantino, ladies and gentlemen. Come on.
All right.
Quentin Tarantino in the final hour tomorrow morning's Kevin
Bean
Show.
And where do I tune to get that? Where is that?
That's here on the Kevin Bean Show. That's our program.
That's us.
I know. You're thinking Letterman, right? No, it's actually us this time. So I tell you all of that good stuff coming up so that you'll stick with us through the next 5 minutes.
All right. Here's the deal. The Armenian comedian is a guy that everyone loves.
And punch the button.
And he is bad in every way. And we need to talk to him because yesterday apparently he called up Miss Cleo.
Yeah.
And started yelling at you? What was...
You want me to recap it?
Yeah.
He called the request line, and the first thing he said to me is that I owe him 50 seconds of jumping jacks. And I said, you owe me a billion hours of life that you've taken away from me every time I have to listen to you.
Okay, first of all, I hate to ever agree with the Armenian comedian, but you do owe him 50 seconds of jumping jacks.
I don't
owe
Sam anything.
No, you owe all Americans 50 seconds of jumping jacks because you are a lying liar who lies. You did not pay off the bet that you lost.
Okay.
So far, he's right, you're wrong. What else you got?
So then he calls back and says that he's disappointed in me because I'm not a good Muslim because I don't wear the proper attire for Muslims I don't wear a towel on my head and I don't cover up like a Muslim. So then I called him out and said, Sam, if you continue being a racist on the phone to me, I'm going to have to tell my bosses and they will make sure that you don't call back. And then he told me that I'm being immature and I'm flipping out just like every other woman does. And I said, oh, good. So now you're being racist and sexist to me on the phone. Wow. That's a good time.
You were on the phone much longer than I would be with him. Sam?
Hi, good morning.
What are you doing?
Hey, first of all, I went to the Cafe Espresso the other day. It was great.
The Cafe Espresso? Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
I want Cleo to work over this and then have a jumping jack contest with those bikini girls.
Right. Nope. Now, Sam, you're calling.
You know, the reason I called is because on the doctor's show, I saw a girl that She says that with jumping jacks, she can have an orgasm, you know? So that's why I called back to say, Cleo, hey, why don't you do that?
You right, and were you nice about it, as you usually are?
Yeah, and then she came on to me, and then, you know, whatever she says, her words is against her in the court of law, okay?
All right, I didn't follow that at all. But I will tell you, if the orgasm thing is true, Sam, then it sounds to me like it's a win-win. It's a win for us to get to see the jumping jacks. It's a win for her because it feels good, right?
Yeah, I'm good in that department all by myself. Good, thanks.
You know what?
Next. I don't need Sam's advice.
By the way, if that could happen, she'd know about it by now, by the way.
Sam, if that were true for more than one girl, there would be jumping jacks all day, every day.
Yes.
Yeah, they could have a nice orgasm.
No, they can't really. Not pretty much anyone. Maybe
pretty much
there's
99% no.
I mean, maybe there's one girl who somehow, for some reason, that's happened for, but that doesn't mean all girls.
Yeah.
Yes.
Armenian comedian, do I understand correctly from Ms. Cleo's recap that you are complaining that she does not wear a burqa that is traditional for some Muslim women?
It's none of my business what the hell she wears. Right. I don't care.
But Sam, you said this to me.
Is she really Muslim? And because of the father complaining, all those sorts.
Yeah, that was
and
fake.
And then she says it was a joke. I said, oh, fine then. And then she started coming on me like a little bitch.
Whoa.
Wow.
Excuse me, Sam? Really? Because I had someone in the other room who was listening to me while you were on speakerphone saying racist words to me.
Don't be
really?
So stupid on the air.
Oh, Sam, stop talking.
I'm the one that sounds stupid, Sam.
Yeah, Sam Moore. Hey, I haven't heard anything that suggested the Armenian comedian is not telling the truth so far.
Oh,
so far,
Bean.
I'm on his side. What has he said
not
true?
He's just being a dick. That's all. He's being a dick. There's certain ways to talk to people, and you don't talk to them that way.
What's your complaint about Ms. Cleo as a Muslim, though? It sounds like you didn't think she was representing the faith very well. What are you talking about there, Sam?
I was just asking if she was really Muslim because the way they have to fast and the way they have to. I was gonna.
We were talking about Ramadan yesterday,
right? And she is fasting,
and she is partaking of Ramadan. And so we asked her a few other questions, but it was all in jest. We were never talking to her like you were talking to her.
Yeah, I was just asking a question, and she went on and then started accusing me that I'm calling names. I don't understand that.
She never shuts up, does she, Sam? She's just talk.
For God's sakes. Right? Bean, you want to be on Sam's side? Really? That's the side you're taking here?
Well, I mean, I'm just basing it on the information I'm hearing from both sides here so far.
I'm tired of these women these days. They think they are so huge.
I hear you, brother. I hear you. You're so right.
Wow.
They never shut up, yet strangely they never have anything to say. It's unbelievable, isn't it, Sam?
You know what? Every woman, their tongue belongs to where they came from and stay there.
Oh. Okay, I don't know what that meant.
I don't either.
It sounded insulting, but I'm not sure what it meant. But I do know that this is why women hate Bean.
And Sam,
both.
This is why you get drinks thrown in your face, Sam.
That's true.
You know what? You should go first century, second century, and understand what's going on. Nowadays in America, everything's they're just coming out of like a seaweed, you know?
Well said. Well said.
I'm going to send that one up to the lab. We've got the language experts on 13, and we'll have them get back to us with the translation.
They are coming out just like seaweed, Bean. That makes perfect sense.
I'm so grateful for you guys, KROQ Corporation, that supports me with my movie, BornHigh.com. Everybody should listen. And then also check out my movie.
Hey,
it's
Sam.
So funny. And also, you are so great to give opportunity to the
Sam?
Crazy guy to sell all his stuff on the air.
Oh,
crazy
okay.
Commercial.
Sam, listen. Despite Beans jokingly going along with you, don't call Miss Cleo and be a dick to her.
No, I don't. I will never call her. You know, I'm scared of her. Ooh.
You should be. She could take you down.
Here's what I think is necessary. Reasonable people can disagree and still get along. In the spirit of cooperation, how about a joke that we can all enjoy before we hang up on you, Armenian comedian? What do you think? Something that'll bring everybody together.
All right. Obama was in Middle East, Egypt.
Yes. I'd like to just interrupt here for a second and say an Obama joke being set in the Middle East is the joke to bring us all together. All right. Go ahead.
And then Obama, he ordered a hookah in a belly dance club to...
Okay, I think you told us this one last time. We didn't understand the punchline,
Ben. Hey, don't interrupt him now. I want to hear the punchline because I didn't remember it from last time.
Yeah. So he was listening, order hookah, nargila, you know, water pipe?
Yes.
And then he was listening to these three Arabs talking about their economy
yes.
and all that.
Mm-hmm.
One says, hey, my oil business is going down the drain. No more automobile industry.
No, he's not done
that
yet. He hasn't finished it. He's still talking.
One says, yeah, I'm laying off a lot of employees. My business going down.
That is a good joke.
He's almost there.
40 wives. I have to have Viagra, whatever. And then... Obama gets mad and he says, hey, I'm still trying to clean Bush's ass.
Okay. There it is.
And that is why the word comedian is after Sam's name.
I have a question.
We're out of time.
In your barn and
we got to go.
Your hair?
Bye-bye.
Yes. Yes.
What did he say?
Can I come to Bean's barn and trim his hair?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
We'll give you the directions.
All right, Sam. Bye-bye now. Bye. We apologize if you had to endure the Armenian comedian in the last segment, by the way. We try not to let that happen very often, but every once in a while we have to address it. We just do.
Yeah. You took his side, though, dude.
Yeah, Bean.
Well, I think he was wrong.
How could you ever
sounded to me like he was probably – like he made some good points this time around, though. Come on. You've talked to Miss Cleo. You know what that's like.
No, I don't.
let's change topics here for just a minute. It's been a while since I've been lucky enough to go on a date. But if I did, I'm sure it will end like the one that Kevin is about to describe to you.
Well, but this happened to Gerard Butler, which is odd considering.
Shocking, really.
You know, he was in 300. He was in The Ugly Truth recently.
Yep.
Which looked bad.
The chicks love him, though, right? He's super dreamy.
He's dreamy.
Apparently the chicks do. He told a reporter that he was on a date with a girl a few years ago. Now, I don't know what that means, a few. If that means 10 or if it means two.
It means before famous, I'm guessing.
Probably. He went to the restroom. He mm-hmm. stood up and he said, I'll be right back. And he went to the restroom. When he got back to the table, she was gone.
Never to be seen again.
Never to be seen or talked to again.
Ouch.
So she ran away from a first date with Gerard Butler.
That's pretty funny.
And then
that must have been awful.
Then they asked him about it. And he said he thought they were getting on really well.
Yeah.
And he said we went from having a great date to completely losing each other. He said, I had a great time. I remember thinking, he says, I really got this. Like that's, he was convinced.
We're going to take your telephone calls at 1-800-520-1067. That's our phone number. It works anywhere. If you can hear the show, you can give us a call and be on the air. Now, Lisa, what would it take? How bad would a date have to be, a first date with a guy, for you to get up and just walk out without saying goodbye?
Well, I will say this.
I don't think
she
would.
There was a time when I would not have done that.
Right, because you're too nice.
Yeah.
You would just go, I'm going to wait it out no matter how miserable I am.
But I think nowadays...
You would?
My patience is different.
Right.
Yeah. And I think if a guy were just a giant ass, like real, you know.
Right.
Just really not worth my time.
You would excuse yourself or you would wait for him to go or...
However it worked out.
Yeah.
If I was lucky enough that he would go to the bathroom, then I could sneak out.
If not, you use the famous words, I'll be right back,
yeah.
And you're
I'd
not right back.
I actually relish the opportunity to do that just once.
Really?
If someone were really awful, yeah.
But you wouldn't even say goodbye, though. You wouldn't because
no,
you wouldn't
God,
want that
no.
confrontation?
Or I would say, this just isn't going to work out.
You would, but I don't think you would do that to someone's face. That's why it's so much easier to say,
it
I'll be right back.
It is easier to sneak out.
And then you go.
But then they worry that you got, I mean, people get kidnapped and stuff sometimes.
Yeah, well, that's
they just disappear.
That's a price that you're willing to pay usually at that moment.
Maybe I just fake my own death.
Where are you going on dates? Tijuana? I mean, how real is the concern that you've been kidnapped rather than just
not
you walked
married,
out?
But if a guy just disappeared, that would be, I mean, at first I'd be worried.
Well, then you'd have to figure out how long you're going to wait.
And then do I call? I don't know. What do you do?
That's a good question.
I think you save face and leave. I think you wouldn't take for granted somebody was kidnapped.
Now, if a guy
you
leaves
live
a girl, he's leaving her with the bill too, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Hey, Psycho Mike, didn't this happen to you? Didn't you? Weren't you on the other end of a walkout on the first date?
Yeah.
He left her with the bill?
He left.
Yeah.
Wow.
And look, I'm not proud of this. I'm not happy about it, but
a long time ago, back in my partying days, I went to, on a date with this girl, and she was beautiful and a whore. So I it was like everything was working
That's
out.
That's
well
win-win right there, right?
And as soon as the food came, she started eating, and I swear to you, I'm not exaggerating when I say she ate like a goddamn barbarian. Her food flying out of her mouth, trying to talk while she's eating, and it freaked me out so much. I was like, I don't even think I said I'm going to the bathroom. I just got up and I was like, and I just walked away. I just walked away.
For some reason, that type of thing to Psycho Mike makes him sick to his stomach. He has to throw up.
You actually were.
Yeah.
Kind of getting ill.
Yeah, and I just couldn't believe. I don't know what it is about that. It is a pet peeve of mine, and I started to have like an anxiety attack. Now, granted, I had like a gram a day Coke habit, so I mean that could have led to the anxiety.
Sure.
But I got up and I just walked away, and I didn't know what to do.
I had breakfast with someone not too long ago who kept spitting eggs out while he was talking. It wasn't a date or anything. It's someone I used to know years ago, but it was.
Yeah, it's not.
It's so disgusting.
Now, amplify that by tenfold, and that's what this girl was like. And I just couldn't take it. I didn't know what to do. And I in fact, got up and left. Left her with the bill. I didn't really talk to her after that.
I can imagine.
That's the best. You have to be horrible at a first date.
Yeah.
Horrible for somebody. Because most people are nice enough that they just go wait it out or whatever. You have to be really something for somebody to run out on you. So we're looking. If somebody left you on a first date, that's funny. If you left on a first date, that's funny.
Yeah.
Both are funny. So 1-800-520-1067. People who are on hold, we'll get to you in a second, and we'll take some more calls after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey!
Well done. Beautiful.
7. K-Rock is KROQ. It is 741.
One of the all-time great Los Angeles Kings, Luke Robitaille, joins us later on the Kevin and Bean Show, and our friend Bobcat Goldthwait talking about his new film Next Hour. Plus, I think we're going to catch up with the birthday boy Sean Connery here in just a few minutes, too, if you can believe that. Right now, we're talking about an ugly incident that happened to the Ugly Truth co-star Gerard Butler. He got walked out on. He was on a first date with a woman, he says, got up, went to the bathroom, came back, she gone. And that kind of prompted us to thinking, how bad does a date have to be if somebody doesn't even say goodbye, if they just walk out on the date? That's the story we want to hear.
Well, let's talk to Travis because he was walked out on.
Okay.
So, Travis, hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
You did what on a first date?
Talked to this girl I met at a party. She was tall. I was tall. We got along really good, so we should go on a date. All right, cool. So I took her out. We went, had dinner. Just finished dessert. My mom called me. My brother was in the hospital. Said, do you mind if I grab this? I was maybe 10 minutes on the phone, come back. She's gone. The bill's there. And there's two added drinks that I didn't have.
She ordered drinks before she left. Wait,
yeah,
so
like she might have met someone and maybe grabbed, like, hey, want to grab a drink? It's on me. And then bounce.
So the call was from your mom, and you asked her permission?
Yeah, I said, do you mind if I get this? Because my brother got in a motorcycle accident, and he was in the hospital. I said, do you mind if I grab this and see how he's doing? And she's like, yeah, no problem.
That means really? You were a bad first date, dude.
It sure does. She wanted the free meal, but she didn't want any of the awkwardness as to what happened next.
Wow.
Yeah, I had no idea what was
she
going
was,
on.
But you got to know this. She was looking for a way out before the call.
Exactly.
So that means you were bad. Yeah. You were a bad conversationalist. Did you talk a lot about yourself? What?
It was going really good. Actually.
Nope. No, it wasn't.
So he was clueless on top of everything.
It was going poorly. You just didn't know it.
Travis, thank you for the call. It's funny, all this time later, when it's obvious that he was bad and there's no other evidence to the contrary, that he still doesn't get it. Still doesn't understand that it was him. All right. Marisol is on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. This one sounds pretty tasty. Hi, Marisol. Welcome. What's up?
Hi. During my high school winter formal dance, my ex-boyfriend decided to take a girl that we was in our same high school to winter formal. And that's the way he kind of broke up with me. He kind of said one day, hey, I'm taking her instead of you.
Okay.
And so I decided to go on a blind date to make him jealous. I didn't know nothing about this guy. I just knew he was my friend's friend. And so we go to winter formal, and I guess it was totally, my friend said I was ignoring him, paying more attention to my ex.
Of course.
And we're like literally on the dance floor, and I'm looking at my ex the whole time, and I'm talking to my friends, and turn around, and he's gone while we were dancing. We're supposed to be dancing, and he's gone.
I think he did the right thing.
You were looking at your ex.
I'm talking to your friends.
That's saying something if he left you on the dance floor.
I know. I felt so bad. So I go to the parking lot. I'm like, I'm looking for him. I'm going to apologize.
Yeah.
My stuff, my purse, my clothes, it's all over the parking lot.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
She did the right thing.
I mean, really. Fantastic.
If he could tell that you were only looking at your ex-boyfriend, I mean, that's insulting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was doing you a favor.
He did the right thing, Marisol. I hope you know that.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. Let's try Victoria. It looks like she did the walking out. She's on line 8. Hey, Victoria. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your story?
Yeah, no problem. Okay, here's the deal. First of all, I should preface with saying I'm a big Obama supporter.
Okay.
So I have a bumper sticker and everything like that. And this guy I met at work. So he saw my car. We had jokes about my car. Whatever. We go on a date. And it's going really well because it's like a lunch date. So there's not as much pressure.
Right.
But then it kind of turns into a dinner date because it's going so well. But near the end of the dinner part of the date, he starts talking about politics and religion, both which we don't see eye to eye on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm all for, like, being avant-garde and bringing up stuff you're not supposed to bring up or whatever, but he was clearly, like, really trying to piss me off, and so I didn't really appreciate it. And then, like, maybe 15 minutes after that, when I clearly am just not having it, he starts talking about what he wants his wedding to look like and what I'm going to look like in the wedding dress he imagines.
Whoa!
What?
Wow!
I wish I was kidding, you guys. I wish I was kidding. Mm. I was so floored by how inappropriate and just clueless this guy was.
So,
I literally said, and I just got up and left.
I'll be right back. Wow, so he thought it was going so well he brought up the wedding.
Oh, he thought that he was the suavest guy ever to walk L.A. I swear to you, he thought I was hook, line, and sinker.
How
he
about
thought, like,
that?
He had me in the bag.
So you didn't even say goodbye. You just got up and left.
No, I told you, like, I was telling your screener, I just didn't feel the need to, like, explain to him why it wasn't working. Like, it was so clear that it wasn't.
Right.
I didn't
normal person.
Understand why I would need to.
And by the way, you could have tried all night. He wouldn't have understood it.
That's true.
It wouldn't help to tell a guy like that why.
That's fantastic.
So you just leave. You did the right thing.
Thank you.
All right.
I mean, I think
thank you, Victoria.
Can I just tell you that right now, a couple of days after that, he started dating another girl, and now they're engaged. They've been dating for like 4 months.
Yes.
They're engaged.
That guy
and
needs
to
be married.
To get married.
Party.
By the way, if any guy, thank you for the call, Victoria, any guy tells you what they've been dreaming about for their wedding,
something's wrong.
Man, oh, man.
Then they should be marrying another dude, right?
Yes.
All right. Let's close with Kat, shall we say, on line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Kat, welcome to the show. What's up?
Hi, Lisa May.
Hello, Kat.
Yeah, I was online chatting with a guy mm-hmm. on the internet, mm-hmm. and he invited me over to watch the Tommy Lee and Pamela video.
Yeah.
And so...
Okay, wait. So you hadn't met him in person yet?
No.
Okay.
We were chatting online for a couple hours.
So he said, I've got this great porn with Pamela Anderson. You need to come over and watch it with me?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
I was feeling like I wanted a little fun. So
okay.
Why not? So I went on over. He lived close by. I went on over. We watched the video. We decided to, you know, do what they were doing in the video.
Try what they were doing.
So you had to go steal a boat first, right?
Not quite. But, you know, Miss Cleo warned me I have to be careful.
Yes,
what
you do.
So I was giving him pleasure.
You're fooling around, okay.
I was, you know, giving him
okay.
the enjoyment.
But it was all one way.
Yeah,
from you to
way.
Him. Okay.
And it was all his way. He was commenting. He was pulling my hair. He was moving my head, and I'm like, well, hey, wait a minute, dude.
Wow.
You're supposed to be, like, grateful that I'm doing this.
Right.
And so after about 15, 20 minutes of this, I excused myself, put on my clothes, and walked out the door.
Did you say I'll be right back and do that?
No.
You
I
just
didn't
said
say anything. I think he thought I was going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
dude.
I couldn't believe
it. Kat, like manhandling you.
But, Kat, you put up with that manhandling for 15 to 20 minutes?
Well, I was trying to be patient. Sometimes you guys need a little extra time.
Boy, was he suffering when he realized you weren't coming back. I don't want to get into the details of how uncomfortable that might have been for him, but
I didn't
wow.
get it that point.
I don't blame you.
So where does one find you online where you'll come over and watch porno and start giving it up in 15 minutes? Where does that happen? What website should I be on?
Told you I'd have to kill you.
Oh, that's too bad. All right. Well, we can trace the call. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks.
Our friend Bobcat Goldthwait is going to be joining us in the next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show for an update on Ralph Garman, by the way, who we fully expected to be here today and entertaining you with the Showbiz Beat. He so far has been unable to get out of jury duty. We gave him a lot of good suggestions. Our listeners told him, you know, hey, go ahead and just pee yourself in the courtroom or, you know, talk about how your whole family is cops or felons. But he was unwilling to do all of that when he got under the judge's eye.
It all got very serious when he got there,
judges,
from what I understand.
Judges don't do a lot of laughing, I find.
No. Yeah. Ralph said once they give you the big speech when you're in the jury pool and you start to hear words like contempt of court and prison, you start to think, hey, maybe this isn't a joke.
Right.
Maybe it's something I need to be taking seriously. So far he is still potentially impaneled in a jury, but we hope he will be back very soon. In the meantime, let's talk about what's going on in the world of showbiz. We got to start with the new Spencer Pratt interview on MTV. He says that his wife is the new Michael Jackson, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I don't know if you remember that last week she gave that interview ahead of her horrendous performance at the Miss Universe pageant,
right,
where she talked about how the world not only needs more pop music stars, but they need her because she's a pop music galaxy, she said.
Oh, man.
Well, apparently she's getting this confidence from her husband, because here's the quote that Spencer gave on an MTV The After Show program, okay? Here it is. It's living. He's talking about how Michael Jackson is dead. The host says, hey, Michael Jackson's dead. Why is your wife the new Michael Jackson? Yeah, but here it is. It's living like the Holy Spirit. Like Michael Jackson's in heaven, the Holy Spirit now has Michael Jackson juice. So, boom, for all we know, Heidi gets possessed with Michael Jackson's divine spirit. So the interviewer says, so Heidi is the new Michael Jackson. Just to make sure that he's not hearing things, as unbelievable as this sounds, I just want to make sure that's what you're saying out loud in public, right? That Heidi is the new Michael Jackson. And his response, oh, way bigger. Ladies and gentlemen, for your consideration.
Way bigger?
Way bigger.
He always says crap like that.
Well, a lot of artists are likely to be bigger than Michael Jackson. Sure. That's pretty easy to do.
I just want to know how many children around the world cringe when the words Michael Jackson juice were uttered.
That's a good question. Remember yesterday when we told you this? And remember earlier today when we told you that Quentin Rampage Jackson is going to be B.A. Baracus in the A-Team?
Yes, I was very excited to hear that.
Great casting.
Said it a lot yesterday. Sure did repeat it.
Sure did.
Said it every showbiz.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Better be true.
Said it this morning. Said it a bunch.
Yes, because we're excited and we think it's perfect.
Right? MTV has come out and said it's confirmed that he is not B.A. Baracus.
Oh!
What?
Come on!
This comes from a British tabloid. It's one of the shaky ones. And they say that Quentin Rampage Jackson is going to be the Mr. T character. That's not the case.
No.
What's up?
So, although you heard it from us many times... Always source us.
Yeah.
Because we can be very shaky.
No. I could not be more disappointed in that news because the casting is so perfect.
Yeah,
this is just like yesterday when we heard that Megan Fox was Catwoman, and then we found out that, no, they're jumping the gun. There's no script. No role has been even written yet, much less offered.
No!
We want these things to be true.
Yeah, but they're not.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Nope.
Hollywood parties interest me because we have long said on this program that in our imagination, all celebrities know all celebrities. They run in the same circles.
Right.
But I was reading about this party that was going on, and it's got the most bizarre guest list. Like, I can't imagine how all these people get together at a party and have anything to talk about.
Okay. Fly on the wall moment.
It happens Saturday night. Justin Timberlake was there. Salma Hayek. Paris Hilton. Sean Penn. Now...
What?
What's Sean Penn? What kind of conversation is Sean Penn having with Paris Hilton?
None, I hope.
I'm guessing none.
A recently single conversation?
No. Yeah. No.
No way
does he is he even mm-hmm. interested in that. Come on.
Okay. Imagine his game. Imagine Sean Penn. Wouldn't that be awesome?
I hope he brings the I Am Sam voice. I hope that's the only way he knows to hit on women. It was at the home of a socialite named Diana Jerkins. Kid Rock provided the entertainment. He was, by the way, spotted doing body shots from the cleavage of a cocktail waitress. According to this report from Fox News, Jeremy Piven apparently downed 17 shooters of tequila at the party.
Excellent.
Sounds about
17.
Right.
17! Yeah.
Possible?
Oh boy. Yeah, it's possible.
Sure. 17, okay.
Sure.
I see all this and I get the Kid Rock and the Jeremy Piven and the Justin Timberlake and the Paris Hilton. I don't get the Sean Penn.
He
is a partier. You just don't know. Dead Man Walking actually rules the planet with his partying. This is a comment from him that night.
This is a mess.
Well, I'm not surprised. All right, we need to make way for the Sean Connery birthday celebration in a moment, and then Bob Scratch Goldfarb will be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour to talk about his new Robin Williams film. But today's celebrity birthdays, how about the original bassist for the Sex Pistols, Glenn Matlock? He's the guy who, you recall, had the job, then got fired, then they hired Sid Vicious, then he died, then Glenn Matlock came back and got his old job back. So there you go. He's the one who made all the money on the Sex Pistols.
Wow.
Chandra Wilson, the great actress who's won an Emmy for Grey's Anatomy, is 40 years old today. Actress Sarah Chalk from Scrubs is 33. Former porn star Harry Reams, one of the great names in all of cinema, is 62. And the great Paul Rubens, better known as Pee-wee Mother Effin' Herman, ladies and gentlemen, putting on the outfit, going back on stage here in a few weeks. The return of Pee Wee Herman after almost 20 years. Paul is 57, and that's the showbiz beat. We want to talk about one of the greatest actors in the history of cinema. Of course, he was Indiana Jones' dad in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. I think he won his Oscar for a film called The Untouchables, if I'm not mistaken. But he will always be best known as the first movie James Bond. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Connery celebrated his birthday yesterday. We didn't have a chance to call, but I think we've got Mr. Connery on the phone here today. Hey, Sean.
How are you?
Oh, there we go. We started off out of the gate like that. Yeah. Look.
We started out the gate. What a
It's your friend Kevin to be just calling to wish you a happy...
It is. I'm old. I'm not stupid.
We were very busy yesterday. We weren't able to call, but we know that it was your birthday. You turned 79 yesterday. How do you feel, Sean?
Well, thanks for telling me happy birthday a day late. You.
Well, isn't late better than never?
Oh, you're so busy. You couldn't pick up the phone to wish me a happy birthday on my actual birthday.
Were you available?
No, I was very busy, actually. Yeah. I was celebrating my birthday, as I do every year.
How are you doing that?
I get together a number of women whose ages add up to mine.
Right.
So this year, it was four girls who are 19 years and 9 months old.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah.
And then I ram birthday cake.
Oh,
come on. Sean.
Come on.
Even you're disgusted.
And then...
Yes, and then...
And then the cake. That's how I celebrate it. Usually I candle your...
Oh, okay.
And light
God.
It. And blow it out and the cake.
Okay.
Wow.
Listen, we don't need any more details about that, but how do you feel
That's
at
79?
Yeah, it certainly is. How do you feel at 79? Are you slowing down at all, or do you still feel like a young, virile man?
I feel as good as I ever have. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was using my to break cinder blocks yesterday.
Wow.
I can drop my on a cinder block and shatter it.
Really?
The block, not my.
Right. Well,
yes.
I hope so.
Yeah. Yes. And so I was here, of course, with Reg and Gene, and we were just partying up a storm, celebrating our birthdays.
You were there with Regis Philbin and Gene Simmons?
No. Regis Smith and Gene.
Okay, well, I didn't know you hung out.
Of course we do. We have a birthday club. We all have the same birthday, so we all celebrate together.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, I know that we mentioned all three of you guys yesterday during the show, but we had no way of even knowing that you knew each other, much less that you would be getting together.
Well, now you know.
Okay.
I just told you.
Is Gene there? Would you mind if we talk to him?
He just, yes, they both stayed the night.
Okay.
Because we were all
okay, right.
What luck for us.
And shut up, woman. Just my front of you.
Oh,
that's all.
Stop it.
Look, Lisa's allowed to make a comment on the call here, Sean. Come
you're
on.
Also allowed to.
Dear God!
So wait, the birthday party was yesterday, but you guys are all still there celebrating. That's what you're telling
Thank
us.
Thank you for the recap.
So you're saying...
People have dozed off during this segment.
You're saying all...
Sean, I think they need to do more setup.
Yes, I do too, Gene. Here's Gene Simmons now.
All right. Are you sure you guys don't want to recap again that they might be having a party that goes
so
on
wait,
with...
You're saying Regis Philbin and Gene Simmons stayed over at your house,
Sean? We, in fact, share a birthday, and it was yesterday,
yes.
And we're having a party, and we're all together, and now we're still here, and we could talk to you on the phone and do the bit.
See.
And go.
What about Regis? Is Regis there as well?
Yes, I'm here as well.
All right.
Okay, the guy just told you I was here.
All right. Just check. I haven't heard you speak.
Who's the old one here?
But we
well,
haven't
heard I was old, but you people losing your mind.
But we didn't know you were. We hadn't heard you yet. We were.
Sean
just...
Connery told you 18 right. times that I was here.
All right.
What's wrong with you?
Right. This doesn't sound like a fun party at all. Actually,
it was fun until you called, and then you ruined it all.
Gene, Sean told us how he celebrated his birthday at the party yesterday. What were you doing while all that was going on?
Oh, we were just sitting back having a bit of dinner, and I actually. Was delivered a package, which was a birthday present, and, you know, we open gifts. And Lisa, am I speaking of delivering a package? I'd like to deliver mine right...
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
Gene, that's worse than usual.
You see, what he means is, he wants the...
That's right.
We know Regis.
What Regis is saying is, I want to...
Okay.
You know what? We've got to figure out a way to hang up on this call. It's gone on entirely...
Make you Lisa.
Would you like that?
Horrible
like
a giant,
I would really like to stop this
There's
now.
There's no downside. You get
wow.
Gene Simmons. You get Sean Connery. And your Regis Philbin, very famous.
That's a win.
Please.
The trifecta of...
I'm celebrity.
Thank you, Regis.
Please hang up.
Hello?
Kevin, if you could tell Mr. Goldthwait that my attorney will be contacting him later on today about forcing me to look at his ass on Jimmy Kimmel Live last night, I'd appreciate it.
Bobcat, Bean wants me to tell you that his attorney is going to be in touch because he had to watch your ass on Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, but you know, here's the thing. I'm trying to be taken serious as a director.
Sure.
I can tell.
That's how you do it.
Jimmy, God bless him. He has his old boss, essentially, Bobcat Goldthwait, who used to direct the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show, is on as a guest last night, pimping out the new movie with Robin Williams called World's Greatest Dad. And they get into a conversation about matching tattoos that Robin Williams and Bobcat has. And Bobcat stands up and drops Trow to America to show us his ridiculous tattoo on his butt. And I'm telling you, it was the full moon is out tonight. It was not a peep of your ass. It was the whole ass, Bob.
Yeah. But you know,
is also the best tattoo ever.
Oh, well, thanks. But you know, I was, because I was the director, I really was going, camera two, Parker. Parker, hold up on two. I really did. Cause
giving him direction on where the ass is going to be.
Yeah. So
we saw that one.
Yeah,
so
this was my ass tattoo is what I broke in here, by the way.
And we put a picture up, and then
I said, take it off.
You called back and said, take it down.
I don't want people stealing my tattoo, but now it's out there for the world.
What was it? Remind me.
Well, because Robin got a Chinese symbol, and then I made fun of it, saying that it was kind of lame, and then I felt bad. So a week later, I go, I know I teased you hard about getting a Chinese symbol. And he got it for laughter or hope, and I go, you know, I got a Chinese symbol, too, and then I dropped my pants, and it's a little drum symbol with really racist eyes and a Fu Manchu mustache.
Oh, my God.
See, it's a Chinese symbol.
Yeah, but you know what? I think Kimmel got off easy because when I showed it to Robin, we were in a nice restaurant.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Would you mind, now that it's been on the TV and everybody has it on TV?
Sure, I'll take a picture. Can we
do another picture before you leave today and put it back up on the site? Sure.
But I don't have to take the picture, do I?
Wait a second. You said you were going to call your attorneys because you had to see my ass.
Yeah.
Now I want
a picture right away.
I feel
that if I was subjected to that level of pain, then the listeners should be as well. I want their eyes to burn like mine did. So you're on the show last night with your friend Robin Williams, and I guess a lot of people who don't know you very well don't know that you and Robin go back decades, right? This is not a fluke that you two are working together in The World's Greatest Dad.
No, we've been friends for close to 30 years, but he read the script for World's Greatest Dad and thought he was going to do me a solid. I just found this out, by the way. He was trying to find like a role in it, like as a teacher or something like that, so I could help get the movie made.
Mm-hmm. He was just going to be nice
sort
for
of
you.
Blend his name in a way.
Yeah, he was going to do me a solid, and then he called up and said, "Could I be the main guy?" And I was like, yeah. You know, I mean, it changed everything. Suddenly, it was like, wow, I can have permits this time.
Right. And do it for real?
We can do multiple takes and shoot on film? Sure. Because, you know, the last movie I shot in 2 weeks with mostly a crew from Craigslist, and that was...
He's not joking, by the way, folks. That is absolutely true.
The woman from the neighbor was calling and getting you shut down and all that, right?
Yeah,
that
well, because it's a romantic comedy with a tasteful amount of bestiality.
Right, there was a little.
But, you know, but that movie did go to Sundance, which is kind of shocking.
Tasteful amount of bestiality?
I think so, because
your movie just walked that line appropriately.
I did too.
So I hope it did. So yeah, now we made a new movie, and once again, it's hard to promote.
Well, I was telling Bobcat in the other room, Robin Williams, to me, is a guy who at times can be funny, but will accept any movie that comes along. And so usually
thank you. Well, thank you, Kevin.
No, and here's Exhibit A, The World's Greatest Dad.
No, but this he is amazing in. This movie, which I've seen, The World's Greatest Dad.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, it's a comedy.
Because he's done some really good serious roles.
He has.
Well,
that's true.
This is the thing. Every once in a while, this is the point I was going to make, but they wouldn't let me say it off the air. This is the truth of the matter. Robin Williams is a fine actor who needs the right director and the right role to show that. I mean, he is in a lot of bad movies.
Well, he really is amazing. You know, he's one of the best actors of the world, and I'm glad folks really seem to really like him in the movie. It's been doing, he's gotten really awesome reviews, so that's pretty cool.
Is it
super easy to direct him because you guys are such good friends?
No.
Or
like
does that make it more difficult?
No, the night before, I freaked out. Like think of, like, your friends.
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever. I mean, sorry, Bean. Like,
not Bean.
Your favorite goat. So if you and your favorite goat were in a movie, you'd be like going, is she going to listen to me? You know what I mean? So the night before, I really did, like, have anxiety going,
plus,
am I going to go to this?
Yeah.
It could
tested.
Be ruined, you
yeah.
know? So I thought, am I going to say, okay, we're going to do this one. We're going to do it a little quieter and this and that. And he was going to say, I have an Academy Award,
right.
and you were in Hot to Trot.
Yeah.
So both
of which are true.
Yeah, but it went the whole other way. You know, I think, like, folks work with Robin, they'll go, okay, we'll do the script, and then we'll ad-lib. And that wasn't our relationship at all. We just continually worked on this character together. You know, sometimes when I hear myself being interviewed now, I want to punch me in the throat. We worked on this character together.
Yeah. Blah, blah.
You want to punch yourself in the throat? Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah. Or pretentious. But I do think it's funny that in the trades, the movie's in the Deauville Film Festival in France, and it just got announced that it's in the main competition. And
wow.
Congratulations.
And I'll be playing the Funny Bone in Omaha this weekend.
Is that true, too?
That
yeah,
so
that's
bizarre.
All true. Yeah.
Wow,
that's,
you have a weird life.
I have a really.
You do. Tell people, and then we need to take a break, but tell people the basis of what the movie's about.
What
you want them to know to set it up?
It's really hard to set up. Do you have a clip or anything?
I do. We don't have time for it.
He is the world's worst son, and it's a comedy for adults. That's the best way to describe it. And it's and I don't know. There's a lot of things that happen that.
His is Robin son, Williams the son or the dad?
He's the father.
He's
okay,
the father. And the kid is horrible.
The kid is Satan himself. I mean, really.
Really. Just the worst.
Just the worst.
He's really, really funny. And then there's a bit of tragedy, but it's still a comedy. It's really hard to promote because I don't like ruining it for people.
Yeah, you don't want to give away too much, but I will tell you that I was blown away by this movie. It was really great.
Wow.
I really loved it because it was such a unique, weird voice.
Sure.
Like,
oh, thanks.
Before you get excited, Bob, Kevin loved Paul Blart. I mean, really
I
loved
love it. Like this, though.
I knew that was going to be dumb.
But he thinks Fat's funny.
Where
I do, yeah.
Well, I know this is another.
See?
Yeah.
That's why I put the LBs back. I lost 40 pounds of funny, I found out.
This is another lame question, Bob, but I am fascinated that where does an idea like what happens in this movie come to you? I mean, because that's predominantly what you are as a writer. And at some point, you had to get the inspiration for this. Where did it come from?
Well, it was really based on my childhood.
I want being a horrible son.
I want no. I all the answers sound so boring. It doesn't do the movie justice, but because I wanted to write a movie about a middle-aged guy who learns to grow some you know. I don't know.
Balls.
Can I say balls? Okay, yeah. So, and that's why the whole movie's about. You know, I actually wrote the end of the movie before the rest of the movie. So, you know, I feel really bad. I don't feel like I'm selling the movie enough.
I don't either.
I would rather you didn't ruin the movie.
Oh, good.
If Kevin loves it, I'm sold.
Lisa and my taste are roughly the same.
Yeah.
Not always. But
often.
Yeah.
But, you know, and
but I would tell Bean as well. He'll love it. And that's a weird movie.
You know
that,
if someone else will like
yeah.
it.
But
yeah.
It's stayed very high in Rotten Tomatoes. That's the best I could say to folks.
That's
it's been in the 80s ever since it
wow.
started getting reviewed. So it's the best reviews I ever got in my life. It's really strange.
And that must be so strange. I mean, this whole directing thing, which I know is your passion.
Right.
Has been
but good
a
reviews
real...
to me is like, it really looks like Chinese. Like, I'm going, what?
Like, you don't know what to do with this?
Yeah. It's like, what is this?
Is it tough to get that that second act in show business if people think they know who you are, Bob, and you're really somebody else now?
Well, I hope this is happening. You know, it is happening because my expectations for these movies are always really low. Do you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
The fact that it's coming out in theaters, it's also on video on demand. I should mention that too. It opens in L.A. all around. You know, it's in the Landmark and in Santa Ana and Sunset 5 this weekend. But it is.
And the rest of the country when?
It rolls like on the 4th. There'll be in a lot more
September 4th.
Cities.
So the okay,
yeah.
All right.
But I think it's funny, like, on video on demand, like, people are like, well, you know, I'm going, I don't know if I want people to appreciate that, you know, it's a cinematic experience. But if you do buy it on, at your home, I'll show up with four teenagers and it'll be just like, you know, we'll come late and
excellent.
Sit around you and
talk.
Text and keep
text.
Going, what's going on? Oh, no, he didn't.
So here's, they can have the theater experience. That's
yeah.
nice of you.
But here's my thing. I don't mean to alienate people who would go to the movie. But the thing is when people make an R-rated comedy, it's not really for adults. And the R-rated movie means they want 12 and 13 year olds to eventually find it as a product.
Right.
I think teenagers are idiots. I really didn't make the movie for them. So it's an adult comedy, that's all. I'm not saying it's an intellectual movie, but you know, if you can kick ass in Guitar Hero, I don't know if you're going to enjoy this movie.
I think all you right. will.
You know, we were talking about Chris from Nirvana shows up in the movie because we shot in Washington, and there's a scene where Robin's looking at porn and crying, but it makes sense if you see the movie. and Chris says, well, what's this about? And I go, well, you know, sometimes when someone dies, people reinvent them and make it all about themselves, and they forget the people that actually knew the person in the process. And then I go, I don't know if you can relate to this.
Yeah, not at all.
And then he smiled and he's like, yeah, I'm in. And then he kept wanting to cheer Robin up because Chris is really one of the sweetest guys in the world. And I go, no, he needs to be depressed now. He's like, I feel so bad for Robin Williams.
He didn't realize it was just an act?
Well, it is really sad, though.
I mean,
he's so sad all the time, even myself. Hey, buck up! Oh, wait, I need you to be that way.
That is your natural reaction. Do it, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like that for about 70% of the movie. So.
All right, let us take a quick break, Bobcat. We love you. We're glad you're here. The film is called World's Greatest Dad. It opens in Los Angeles tomorrow and then wide release September 4th. We'll take a quick break, return with Bob Scratch Goldfarb right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Luke Robitaille, former great for the Los Angeles Kings, joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, tomorrow Adam Carolla will be here, Rob Zombie on the show, and the great Quentin Tarantino will also be here tomorrow.
Wow, that's a good show.
He's nothing, though, compared to you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Today, it's Bob Scratch Goldfarb.
Today's shaky. All right. You can't hit a home run every time you're up to bat.
Tomorrow, Christ will be back. And today, we got the star from Police Academy 2, 3, and 4.
Bobcat is here because his new film is called World's Greatest Dad. He is a writer director. He's getting the best reviews of his whole career always with this movie. It is opening up in Los Angeles tomorrow and then wider on next Friday, I guess. Is that right? Next Friday is already September 4th. Is that possible or no? Is that 2 weeks away?
Yeah, I think so.
No, you're right.
Next Friday. Dude, flying on by.
Yeah.
All right, so where are we? We're talking about World's Greatest Dad. I think we got a clip we wanted to play and talk a little bit more about what's happening.
Sure, yeah, let's just play the clip. This is at the one of the scenes at the very beginning of the movie, and Robin has his son, played by Daryl Sabara, who is in the Spy Kids, but in this movie, he's awesome as an actor, but he's really disgusting as a person.
Yeah, and do we need to tell him what's happening? Because a lot of it's visual.
Well,
I mean, you'll hear, but you can't hear what happens.
Well, okay, so he's got a belt, and... And he's doing his business, I guess. Is that the best way?
Yes, that was the best way.
He's got a belt around his neck.
Okay,
is what's happening.
Okay, so he's David Carradine.
Got it. Way.
Yes. Yeah. And Robin Williams, as his dad, knocks and walks in on that.
Come on, boy, we're late. Hey, buddy. God.
Dad, what are you doing? What are you doing? Dad.
Jesus Christ. I thought you were dead.
Do you knock, please? I knocked.
Okay, yep.
No.
God, I...
Get out of my room.
I'm out. I'm gone. I'm out of here.
Yeah, so he walks in on that.
Oh, no.
Awkward.
And he honestly thinks his son is dead, and he wasn't at all.
No, and then he's infuriated that his dad ruined the mood. This kid has absolutely no shame. He's not like, in his mind.
He's not embarrassed.
No, he doesn't go, wow, that was really uncool. I'm sorry, Dad. You know, he's just like, he's mad at his dad. Like he
Because the timing of it was poor for him.
And he thinks his dad's an animal. He's just this horrible kid. And Daryl is such a great actor. He's so sweet and really, really did a great job. But I was not sure if he was a creep or not. Now he's like a family member. But there's a scene where Daryl says, starts talking about chili dogging.
Yeah.
And
yes, he does.
But I never knew what chili dogging was.
Oh, you don't want to know.
Well, yes, you do, Lisa.
Lisa, we've told you.
I will
tell you off the air.
Okay, but I had to call him up in the editing bay because I'm deciding this is stay or go. I go, what's chili dogging? And he explains it to me. And I go, okay. And I go, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, I got my license. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to get off the phone now because it's weird a middle-aged dude calling a 16-year-old boy talking chili dog. And I found out just the other day was that he was in class.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he explained that to you in class.
Yeah, he's like, chili dog, and that's when you...
you take your and she
Daryl,
puts it in
what
her...
what are you doing? Right. What's so important? I'm talking to Bobcat.
You want to share it with the whole class?
Nope.
No, so That's world's greatest dad. But it's hopefully it's funny for folks. I mean, it seems like when I watch it with them, they do seem to laugh. And I hope folks come out and support it. You know, I'm really bad at promoting myself because I've always been so, you know, self-deprecating and stuff. But
it is hard for you to say this is great in your eyes because you directed it and wrote it. But it is great. I'll say it about
well,
it.
Well, thanks, man.
I really, really liked it. And Robin Williams was great and the kid was great.
Yeah,
Bob, could you write something that wasn't perverted? Would it be possible for you to sit down with a couple of blank pieces of paper in front of you and not have it
do
involve
a Disney film?
Not have it involve dogs or penises?
Know, I started writing this thing recently that I would say was G-rated, and I couldn't finish it. And my friend Jack goes, you're not G-rated. I go, oh, okay. And then I just started, and then I wrote this other thing immediately as soon as my friend told me that.
Yeah, that's good advice, because I don't think you could do that. But that's what I like about you as well.
Well, thanks. So I'm working on a serial killer script, and then also a musical. So, serious.
Wait, the serial killer movie is a musical.
No, that's not a musical. All right, but yeah. I just keep. Hopefully, I can keep making these small movies, and I hope people keep coming out. I sound like Dirk Diggler, and I'm going to keep rocking and rolling. Speaking of Dirk Diggler, Robin's nude in the movie. Now that's not.
It's not a stand-in.
Oh no, that's him.
Yeah,
I was like, why are you insecure? I mean,
really?
Yes, holy crap. If I was him, I wouldn't have pants on right now. I just walk around
all
day.
You just walk around like that all the time.
Yeah, how do you like me now, bitches?
You were surprised by that.
Really surprised, because we're old friends, but we don't nude it up together. And then he shows up manscaped when we shot that scene. And I'm like, dude, you cost me the bear audience so hard.
Well, you got to shave. If you're filming in Seattle, you got to shave Rob Williams so you don't start a whole other rash of Bigfoot sightings. I mean, you got to be very concerned about that with Robin.
Well, he's the hairiest man on earth, right?
Once. Yeah, he was. Well, not. But you know what's funny? We were at the premiere, and his daughter goes, "Hey, thanks for the heads up. Thanks for letting me know that I was going to see my dad's hog in the middle of your movie." So I didn't think about that.
Well, the film is called The World's Greatest Dad. It opens up, as we mentioned, in Los Angeles tomorrow, and then everywhere else on September 4th. I can't wait to see this, Bob. You are one of our favorite guests and writers and directors, and we're very excited for this movie. Congratulations on all the success. Come back and see us anytime, all right, man?
Well, thanks, man. Thank you so much.
It's funny how there are some people who say that the only people who get on juries are the people who are too dumb to get out of it.
Right.
We're going to find out if that's true when we ever hear from Ralph Garman again, but he was expected to be back. We thought he would all be back doing the Showbiz Beat today because he went down for jury selection yesterday. We figured he'd come up with something wise-ass that would get him out of there, like I can tell people are guilty just by looking at him.
Yeah.
Apparently he did not go that route once in front of the judge, so he is still, quote-unquote, empaneled at this point. So we don't know when he's coming back, but hopefully soon.
Or if
he's coming back.
He'll be on
right.
A 9-month trial for all we know.
Here's an interesting story as we take a look at the Showbiz Beat. They now think, and there's some interesting photos and video up at TMZ.com, the entertainment news site of record, that the person who broke into Lindsay Lohan's place over the weekend, there's video of a guy with two women, believe it or not, all three of them breaking into Lindsay's place over the weekend. They think it might be the same burglar or burglars who broke into Audrina Patridge's apartment a couple of months ago.
Really?
Very similar.
Weren't they saying this is an inside job?
Yes, a lot of people are saying because stuff was taken from the safe. In fact, Lindsay twittered yesterday it was not a robbery. Electronics weren't taken, just things that a certain old friend knew meant a lot to me. Now, one of the reports that I heard last night was that what was taken from the safe may involve something on tape.
Yeah!
Really?
Man. They're tight.
And depending on when that was filmed, I may or may not be interested in seeing that.
Lisa, you're not excited enough about that.
I feel bad for her.
But you feel good for the world, though.
Right.
If something like that is about to be released, it's a win for us, right?
With her, it was a matter of time.
That's true.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. Yes. So, I don't know. This investigation is still ongoing. But if somebody breaks in and doesn't steal other valuables in the house and goes right for the safe and steals something in particular, it does seem like somebody knew what they were looking for when they got there.
That does seem odd.
Yeah.
And what that has to do with Audrina, I have no idea.
We've been talking a lot about the A-Team movie. We've been telling you Quentin Rampage Jackson is going to be playing the part of that Mr. T played, B.A. Baracus.
Yes, you have been telling me that.
Turns out that's not true.
You've been lying to me?
But it needs to be true.
Yeah, it needs to, but it isn't. It's not true. It's what it is false.
opposite of true.
It's not the least bit true. He's
says
not
who?
Even true-ish.
Says MTV.
How do they know?
Well, I don't know. Apparently, they're making the movie, I think. I don't know.
We don't know anything.
Here's what we know. Not true.
Fail.
Okay.
That's epic fail.
Yes, that's what we know.
Here's a casting call. I don't know. I guess a Wall Street sequel could be good. That movie from, when was that out? In the 80s, maybe? Something like that. Oliver Stone directed, Michael Douglas starred in Wall Street. That was a real good movie. I don't know how jazzed I am for a sequel, but apparently it is happening. Apparently Susan Sarandon is in talks with Oliver Stone to join the cast. Michael Douglas is going to be back reprising his role as Gordon Gekko. Remember his famous catchphrase from that movie, greed is good. Mm-hmm. Shia LaBeouf is going to be playing a young Wall Street trader who gets sucked into Gordon's circle. Susan Sarandon would play his mom. Frank Langella stars in the movie. I mean, every one of these people that I've mentioned are good actors. It's a good director. Yeah. I just am wondering if the whole Wall Street world is if it's time to revisit that yet.
I don't know. Didn't they mostly cause where we are right now?
I was going to say, we're kind of living through that now.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if there's any time when that movie could work and is more appropriate, why wouldn't it be now?
Well, I mean, I guess
it's before what's happening now happens.
Yeah. It's the before story.
Yeah.
When greed is good, not when it has ruined all of us.
Yeah. Exactly. When it's destroyed America. But anyway, great set of actors and director there. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, you get those talented people together. Of course, the possibility exists that it's going to be a good movie. We'll just have to wait and see. Here's your top 10 television rankings over the past 7 days, by the way. It's always fascinating to me to look at the ratings and then realize how few of these shows I watch. Like in my case, zero.
Yeah.
America's Got Talent, number one and number two last week. NCIS was number three. Two and a Half Men was fourth. The Big Bang Theory was fifth. Of course, those last three shows all in reruns now.
Yeah, I was
going to
ask. None of them are new.
Mm-mm.
Right.
Okay.
Except for America's Got Talent, right? Number six and number nine were both episodes of Big Brother on CBS. I don't think I've seen a second of Big Brother since the first season, as a curiosity factor. But apparently, that's one of those shows that's cheap to make and people seem to watch. So they got to be happy with that. The Mentalist is number seven. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was number eight. Second Big Brother at nine. And then Hell's Kitchen at number 10. That's your top 10 on the TV, too.
By the way, you always make fun of how I'm super negative about stuff and you wonder what I like. I'll tell you what I like. I like Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory.
Yeah.
Okay. I like Nitro Circus, both of which are back new tonight. On MTV.
Cool. Oh, there you go.
Check that out. Those are two of my favorite shows. I haven't missed one of them.
Okay.
And here's one music note to close, and that is we love the Kings of Leon around here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Billboard.com has confirmed that a live DVD that was filmed at the O2 Arena in London in July is going to be coming out before the end of the year. And then I had heard some rumors about a remix album that the band was going to put out. Apparently that has been confirmed also. They're going to be kind of remix/remakes. You know how the rappers sometimes will take a track and they'll just tear it apart and add stuff to it? Well, that's going to be what they're doing with this Kings of Leon record. Justin Timberlake is involved. Mark Ronson. Pharrell is going to be on it. Members of Linkin Park are going to be contributing to it. That sounds like it could be really interesting. Because some of those songs, like You Somebody here, you can see that there's a lot of different ways you can go with a song like that. So I very much would be interested to hear that. Today's celebrity birthdays, how about the great Pee Wee Herman? Actor Paul Rubens is 57 years old today. He, of course, is putting on the suit and going back on stage here in a few weeks. The return of Pee Wee Herman, the character, after almost 20 years. So happy birthday to Paul at 57. Chandra Wilson from Grey's Anatomy, she is 40. From the Sex Pistols, Glenn Matlock is 53 years old today. Downtown Julie Brown, the former MTV VJ, is 46 years old today. Psycho Mike, this one's for you. WWF wrestler Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah. That's his real name, by the way.
61, famous for the Cobra Clutch. He is 61 today, and at 62 is former porn star Harry Reams.
Yeah. That's his real
name,
by
Harry Reams, ladies and gentlemen. That is the Showbiz Beat.
Greatest left wing in the history of the league.
Luke Robitaille.
Luke Robitaille.
I remember playing my first game at the LA Forum thinking, man, this is it. I made it.
Unbelievable shot.
Robitaille shoots. He scores.
He scores, and that's what he's done for 17 years.
And Robitaille again. He scores.
I just caught the goaltender sleeping.
My name is Luke Robitaille, and I play left wing.
All right, let's quick survey around the room here. Kevin, are you in the Hockey Hall of Fame?
I hope. I haven't checked, but I'm gonna guess no.
Lisa, how about you?
I am not.
Me, no. Psycho Mike, you in the Hockey Hall of Fame?
No.
No.
Luke Robitaille, you in the Hockey Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Come to think of it,
you guys have a highlight reel starting. This is cool.
We do. We thought you might die one day. We wanted to have it standing by. So,
but you can never hear the announcers over the crowd. That's got to be kind of exciting.
I know, that is so neat. When you hear the announcer, it seemed like it was a really nice goal. It was probably just a tip in or something.
They were very excited.
Very, yeah.
Luke, after all the years that you played from the time you were a little kid, when it gets to be August, getting into September, you have to start getting itchy. You have to wake up in the morning going, wait a minute, what's not happening here?
Actually, I do get excited now because the season's starting, you know, and I'm still working with the team. But I got to be honest with you, I was watching the kids skate last week, and these guys were going round. They're doing laps, and they're doing sprints. I was like, no way. There's no way. It just looks so painful.
I guess that's good.
No.
Yes. I guess that's good.
I'm like, I'm really done.
Because you see a guy like Brett Favre who can't quit.
I know.
He just can't possibly give it up. And I guess it would be a blessing to look out and go, wow, I'm glad I'm not doing that anymore.
You know, you hear like Chris Chelios is still trying to play, and there's that Theo Fleury who's trying to make a comeback in Calgary, and the other day we played with some of the staff, and trust me, everybody's like a beginner. A couple people played college, and that's it. And after an hour of skating, we were down a game, and I really tried to push it, and I thought I was watching my heart. I was nervous.
You're gonna die?
I
really?
Made it official that day. It's official. I will never try to come back, even if the thought crossed my mind this past 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's probably wise, and it sounds like you've got the best of both worlds because you don't have to put your body through that, yet you can still be close to the game and work in the front office.
Yeah, that's the greatest thing. You're right. You know, I'm still part of the game. I mean, I'm still involved with the Kings, and for me, it's fun, and it still gives me an opportunity to be part of something. You know, I want to be involved to win the Stanley Cup, and, you know, it's just to be part of it is fun, but at the same time, I get to sit by the glass a lot of nights and to see how big those guys are. They seem so big, it hits hard. I'm like, I really don't want to come back.
I'm so glad that's not me.
Now, Luke, of course, the Kings went to the Stanley Cup back in, what, 93, I guess it was. Yep. And we've talked to you about this before. We were there. We went to Montreal to cover it and broadcast live, and it was one of the great times we ever had in our lives. Unfortunately, it didn't go our way that time. But
that was the night they won the Cup, which wasn't ideal for us.
Wasn't the best time to be a Kings fan. But you were lucky enough and smart enough to manage your career that you were able to win a Stanley Cup later down the road with Detroit. But for so many in Los Angeles, you know, Kings fans are so hungering to go back, but it takes so much. So many things have to go in your direction, some skillfully executed, some luck that has to happen before you get back to that place.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I realized when I won in Detroit, and, you know, I remember 93 when we lost. I remember being in the locker room and said, we'll be back next year.
Right.
You know, we haven't done crap since.
It hasn't really happened.
You know, but you realize, like, injuries and the right guy that's hot at the right time, your goaltending has to be great. There's so much that needs to be there. You know, I was when I went to Detroit, I knew we were going to have the best team that year, but then you still never know if you're going to win, and we were fortunate to win it. I mean, certainly looking back in my career and, you know, to win the championship to end where you have that ultimate prize is very special. But
it was with the Red Wings.
It was with the Red Wings.
So,
I mean,
you know, Luke's okay with that.
Well, that's why I'm working with the Kings now. Right. I want to win one here. I mean, I always tell everyone, to do it, to be the first one to do it here, it's going to be very special. I mean, I even, you know, you remember in 2001 when we just went to the second round, we beat Detroit, and it was amazing. This entire city was going nuts. So, you know, I try to teach those young guys that this is how great this city could be. You know, it's going to be amazing.
You know what surprises me about hockey in specific is, especially the goalies, it's all about being hot, and it's so ebb and flows and up and down, and a goalie can be unbeatable or completely crappy, kind of based on a weird mood. You know what I mean? Like, how does that change so much?
The hardest thing about a goaltending's position, like if you're, you know, example, if you're Kobe and you're not hot that night, you're just going to keep shooting. Sooner or later, you'll end up with 30 points if you keep shooting.
If you shoot enough shots.
Or if you're a goalie, you can have the greatest game of your life. You could stop 40 shots. Next thing you know, for one split, 100 of a second, you don't pay attention and one goes by you and this guy sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It's the truth. I mean, that's what's hard about it. You have three games in a row, and it's 2-2, and next thing you know, it hits something, or you're not paying attention, and hits the board funny, hits you in the back, goes in, and everybody's mad at you.
What percentage of it is luck? What percentage of a team winning? Like, for example, the Red Wings, you know they build teams that
can go to the Stanley Cup. But most teams, what percentage of it is chance, would you
usually
guess?
In a seven-game series, if you do the things right every day, you know, and you play the right system and you have the talent to do it, you should win 80 to 90% of those series. It will happen once in a while that a team just happened to be everything is going great and they'll win a seven-game series. But, you know, you would do it over and over year after year
and
that team would always win back. And it's the same theory of the, you know, the Russian against the American 1980. You know,
right.
they'd play that same team 10 times in a row. They would have lost all 10 games. But that day at that game, they were just everything clicked for them
yeah.
in, you know, a
yeah.
couple week goals.
All right, I'm going to put you in a tough spot here. Luke Robitaille is our guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll tell you how you can hang out with Luke and raise money for charity here in just a minute. Here's the tough question I'm going to ask for you, and I hate to put you on the spot, but there are teams that do just enough to get by, just enough to make money, and then there are teams who do the things, the hard things that are necessary to win a championship. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that the Kings are in that second category where they realistically are going to make the moves necessary to compete for the Cup?
We've done the real hard thing the last 3 years, you know, which is we went back and basically kind of broke down the organization. And you look at where we are today compared to where we were 3 years ago, we are the youngest team in the league. I mean, we've picked in the top five for the last 3 years. And trust me, it's painful. If you pick in the top five,
that means
you've been losing a long time.
That means you were pretty bad the year before.
we've done that right now. We feel it's like we drew a line in the sand and we're saying, okay, now it's the next step. And, you know, it takes a lot for your ownership has to believe you. I mean, it's, you know, trust me, it hasn't been good. And the fans have stuck with us. They've been very patient. And the cool thing about us is this summer we're seeing that people are believing what we're doing. Because, you know, our crowds are going to increase next year. We're seeing, like, our season tickets base is building up. So we're really excited about what we've done. And, you know, you've been to all the
yeah.
games. And we really believe next year it's our turnaround year.
I hope so, because that early exit is such a bummer.
You know what?
Especially in hockey, because there's so much hockey still to be played and you're gone,
yeah.
right?
I know. It makes the summer really long.
It's rough.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's so funny because, you know, you mentioned you went to a baseball game recently. I mean, you know, everybody gets so bored when the same teams win all the time. And it's exciting when a team like the Phillies came out and win the World Series last year. Mm-hmm. I just feel like hockey right now, it's all Anaheim, Detroit, and Pittsburgh. And you want somebody like the Kings to break through and be in that elite group.
It will be us.
All right, that's a promise.
Or
your money back. That's what Luke says. Personally.
He'll personally
all right.
pay you.
We'll take a quick break. How you can meet Luke, help raise money for charity, and have a lot of fun with some other stars from other sports, too. It's a fantastic event. We'll tell you all about it right after this with our guest, Luke Robitaille, on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is the Kevin and Bean Show in our studio this morning. We're always excited to see our friend Luke Robitaille, the highest scoring left wing in NHL history, 7-time NHL All-Star. He is retired now, but you have the opportunity to play against him on the ice. How cool is that? This
wow.
is like a living fantasy camp. Luke, tell us about the Bold Challenges Sweepstakes.
Well, you know, you can pick what you want to do. I mean, except for fighting, like I was telling you.
You can't fight?
If someone wants to fight, I'll bring Marty McSorley.
Okay.
But if they want, you know, we could play one-on-one. We could take two teams and play. If they want to play goalie, I could try that.
You could pepper them?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, hopefully, I won't hit them. I'll practice a little bit before. The theory is I don't want to hit them. I want to hit the net. But
no, you should hit
basically
them.
The challenge is they could do anything they want. It could be just a clinic as much. We could play a game and just have a lot of fun out there.
So I get a chance to do that with you. You can fight Tito Ortiz. You can race
yeah,
against
who
Matt
wants
Kenseth.
To do that, by the way? Who wants to fight Tito Ortiz?
Or Luke Robitaille.
You really don't want to fight. That's what
yeah.
you're saying. Matt Kenseth, you can race with. You can fight Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah.
How old is he now, by the way?
He's 50s, I would imagine.
Yeah, he's got to be
still
up
probably
there.
Kick ass. Or you can play poker with Annie Duke. Very annoying. Don't pick that one. All right. I'm just saying. I've played with her, and it's not fun. All right. So if you want to play hockey with Luke, where you go to boldchallenge.com? Is that right? Yeah,
boldchallenges.com.
Okay. And when is the deadline for that? Tomorrow?
I think it's tomorrow, yeah.
All right.
Text and...
And tell us about the Kings Fest that's going on this weekend. That's
Kings Fest is
tomorrow
this weekend.
Sunday?
Yeah, tomorrow at LA Live. You can go on LAKings.com. I mean, we're introducing the whole team. We got about 25 alumni tomorrow. We got the singer from Live. What's his name? Ed
Kowalczyk. Yes.
Oh wow.
The French thing. Sometimes I struggle with that name.
Sure.
But we got him performing, and then we got stuff going on all weekend, and it's basically a bunch of Q&As. We're bringing a bunch of tough guys, Stu Grimson, and.
Brad Norton are going to come in and tell stories about the, how they will bring the Triple Crown line from anyone that was a Kings fan. And the fans have a real good chance to interact with them. We have interactive games. So it's going to be
a bunch of fun.
A bunch of autograph signings. Too. Yeah, a lot of autograph signing. Our entire team will be there.
Oh, great. So happy Hockey's back.
Yeah, I know. Kevin's been counting down the days. You're going to the – is it Las Vegas again this year, Kevin? Is that where the thing is? Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's always against the Colorado Avalanche, and it's September 25th, I want to say.
26th. This year, yeah.
Yeah.
You're gonna, well, if you want to do the challenge, maybe you should apply.
I'll kick your ass. I only fight.
That's right.
So if you don't want to fight,
I'll try it. I'll try it with you, but you're going to have skates on, though, huh? You will? If you have skates on, we're good.
I'm okay to see that.
No, I can't do it now. I'm out.
Kevin, all those years ago when we got dressed up and went out on the ice at the Kings, wasn't it with Luke?
No, it was Dave Taylor.
Oh, that's right.
And we were playing goalie. I was playing goalie, and he would say right shin and would take a shot, and it would hit my right shin guard. Like, it was unbelievable how how great and how accurate these guys are.
That's
and
amazing.
The goalies, you know, their outfit, how gay was that?
Their uniform.
Their uniform and their pants and their pads is like 100 pounds of extra weight. I don't know how they do it.
I don't get it. I tried to play goalie this past year just for fun.
It's not fun.
So if somebody wants you to play goalie, will you do that for this contest?
I will play goalie for this contest. The problem when you play with, like you say, like Dave Terry would say, I'll hit your right chin. And he does. When you play with a guy that just plays for fun, he won't hit the right chin. He'll hit you in the head. You know,
BoldChallenges.com is where you want to go. And great athletes involved besides Luke, of course, as we mentioned, Tito Ortiz, Matt Kenseth, who we've had on this program, is a great car driver. We have Sugar Ray Leonard, Annie Duke. You can pick your challenge.
Fail!
I'm sorry. Did you say Annie Duke?
I did say Annie Duke, yeah.
Don't do that.
And, of course, the Kings weekend, of course, at LA Live this weekend, too. It's awesome to catch up with you, Luke. I hope everything you've said is true because we're going to hold it to you that this year is going to be something special for the Los Angeles Kings.
I mean, last year was a lot of fun for anyone that saw a team play. I mean, we have probably the most anticipated year and season in years, and the kid Drew Doughty is going to be a superstar for us. So we're really happy about our team this year. It's going to be fun.
Can't wait.
Pressure is on. The pressure is on. It's good.
LAKings.com. Luke Robitaille, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
This is the Kevin DeBean Show for Thursday. I'm being told that you took the gayest picture in history with Luke Robitaille. You're smiling like a little girl, I hear.
Yeah, I look like I'm in love, which I am.
But you are in love.
I look more in love than I am. And Dave has sworn to me that that's the picture he's putting up. So.
Well, I certainly hope so. Ralph is still at jury duty. We hope he figures out a way to get out of it today and rejoin us tomorrow to do the Showbiz Beat the way it's meant to be done. But in the meantime, I've decided that when I come back in my next life, providing I get the opportunity, that I think being shortstop for the New York Yankees is going to be my next job. I think that's the gig that I want.
I don't see that happening with you.
Well, apparently that's how you get the chicks. I don't know if you've been keeping track of who Derek Jeter has been dating lately, Kevin.
I have not.
He has. I want you to imagine this is your list of ex-girlfriends, okay? So all the women's names that you are about to hear are women that Derek Jeter presumably has already had sex with and then discarded and moved on to the next one, okay? Right. Yeah, he used to date / bang Scarlett Johansson, okay? He had that.
Good.
Jessica Biel used to stay over at his place.
All right. Mm.
Yeah, he had a long-term relationship with Mariah Carey.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. He did used to date Gabrielle Union.
Mm.
Jesus.
Oh, I forgot. Vanessa Minnelli was his girlfriend.
That's not right.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Remember when he used to be banging Jessica Alba? Okay. That's Derek Jeter. That's his life. That just happened, okay?
But you'd have to come back and look like him, I think. You couldn't just be the shortstop for the Yankees.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, helps
if you were you as a shortstop, you would not get that.
Maybe so, but right. I gotta imagine that being the shortstop for the Yankees is half the hard work is done toward getting these women.
It doesn't hurt, sure.
It doesn't hurt at all. Well, anyway, I say all that as preamble to get to the point of this story, which is what the New York Post's Page Six is reporting, that Derek Jeter has issued a save the date to his close friends for a wedding this fall with his girlfriend Minka Kelly.
Really?
The wedding is being planned. It will take place after the baseball season is over, says the source that spoke to the Post. Minka Kelly is Lila on Friday Night Lights and is so scorching hot that I couldn't spend more than a couple of minutes with her without needing to lie down. I mean, she's so hot.
Yeah.
But I guess
he's not going to go through with it. You know why? He's got other options out there.
Yeah, he does have other options.
He really just, the world is his oyster.
I mean, imagine how depressed you'd be, Kevin, if you woke up today and realized you were no longer dating Jessica Alba and Scarlett Johansson and Jessica Biel. I mean, as awesome as all of that was, you'd never get over the fact that that was in the past. But for Derek Jeter, no big thing. Yeah. I got more. There's more where that came from.
Yeah.
So we'll see if he's really going to marry Minka. But I think you're right. I can't imagine why he would.
A San Francisco man is throwing his name into the circus. He's claiming to be Michael Jackson's 24-year-old son.
Oh.
According to a creditor's claim filed yesterday in Los Angeles, a guy named Prince Michael Malachi Jet Jackson is requesting a DNA test. Now, most of the time, these people don't request a DNA test because
right.
you'd think
they
that
know would, that they're not really the kid, right?
Right. That would either prove or disprove.
Right.
This guy started out requesting a DNA test to prove he is the biological son of the late King of Pop.
Okay.
Now, I don't think Michael Jackson had any kids that were his own.
Not as far as we know.
Right? They were all were sperm donors.
Yes.
This guy says he was. He submitted a birth certificate, one which lists Michael Joseph Jackson of Indiana as the father and Zerline Lavette Dixon as the mother. I don't know who that is.
Hmm.
But that information is correct on Michael Jackson. It's his middle name, and he's from Indiana. And
it would be fascinating.
He's requesting
if it were
a DNA
true.
Test.
Yeah.
Wow.
It can't be. I mean, it can't be true. He didn't have any kids. But this guy says that that Michael Jackson's family has been convincing him to stay quiet all this time.
Really?
For 24 years.
And you theorized earlier that maybe there was money coming his way while Michael was alive, and maybe now he doesn't have that coming in. Maybe he's interested in a piece of the estate if he's in fact an heir.
If he's an heir, yeah.
Interesting.
If he's not, he's just trying to pull a fast one. Who knows? But I'm also his son, I'd like to say.
It is weird that this guy's name is also Prince, though, just like both of the sons that Michael Jackson had.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be hard to find out either, though.
Of course.
No, you know I mean, if the guy changed his name, but yeah. I mean, if his name really has been Prince, that would be an interesting coincidence, that's for sure.
Prince Michael, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. TMZ is theorizing that the burglars who broke into Audrina Patridge's apartment not long ago may be the same burglars that the police are looking out for that broke into Lindsay Lohan's place over the weekend. There's security camera footage up at TMZ.com, and you can see the guy that they think is the ringleader wearing a hat and a T-shirt and looking very similar in both videos. By the way, in case you're wondering what was stolen, and I find this very interesting, Lindsay Lohan tweeted yesterday, it was not a robbery. Electronics were not taken, just things that a certain old friend knew meant a lot to me, which kind of sounds like an inside job a little bit. I heard another report last night that suggested that perhaps some sort of videotape was stolen from Lindsay's safe.
Yes.
What kind of videotape would you go to that length to hide in a safe, I'm trying to think? What would be on that?
Airtight.
Yeah, I'm just guessing, but it seems to be the favorite pastime of celebrities to make sex tapes.
But well, here's what I don't get.
Why if not destroy
you,
it?
Yes.
I don't know.
Thank you. If you really don't want anyone to ever see it, they never seem to... Well, who knows? I guess if they destroy it, we'd never hear about it, but they don't seem to ever destroy it. They hide it away somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think there's probably exhibitionism and narcissism to it that they eventually want to go back and watch it again. I mean, that's
I
the only reason.
They want to go back and watch their own?
Yeah, a lot of
really?
Times. I would imagine.
I'd also like to point out, by the way, that sex tapes have become so common in recent years that they come and go in a week and you don't even think about them anymore. I mean,
yeah.
When was the last time a sex tape ruined someone?
Oh, I don't think it would ruin her. No.
How could it ruin her?
But
I mean, what's the downside for Lindsay Lohan of a sex tape?
Yeah,
I mean, you could argue that the sex tape is what made Pam Anderson into the stratosphere with her career, and also did the same for Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton was a nobody. She was just a wannabe socialite before that sex tape came out, and then she became a huge star.
It certainly literally constructed Kim Kardashian's career.
You're absolutely
I mean,
right.
No one knew who she was.
Maybe Lindsay got her agent on the line and said, I need a sex tape. Give me one.
Someone steal it. Quick.
Let's just set it up.
Well, this could be a good move for her is all I'm suggesting.
It's great to be Beyonce and Jay-Z. They're spending some more time in Southeast Asia. A British tabloid reports that they are looking at buying a new piece of property in Singapore that features a 360-degree view of the city as well as the ocean and is listed for about $8 million.
Oh, my gosh.
Which
just
is good. Nothing for Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Exactly.
So they can just – they're just – everywhere they go, I'll take it.
Yeah.
See that one right there?
I may come back here. I may not.
I may not ever come back. And let's have somebody take care of it because we might come back at some point.
Wow.
And finally, for me, AbsoluteNow.com is reporting on a new film called Black Swan. I don't know anything about the plot of this movie, but I do know that if what they report about Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis is true, I am going to see it. The two young beauties, say the article, perform an extremely explicit scene in the thriller, which is described as ecstasy-induced, hungry, aggressive, angry sex. That's what Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis are doing in that movie. So, yes, please.
I guess if you're into that sort of thing.
You know?
Sir. Not that you would be.
No, of course not. Yeah. I don't have anything to do with it. And Kelly Osbourne has to get a tan. Okay, that's...
she's too white for TV. She screws up the white balance on Dancing with the Stars if she doesn't get some color into her skin.
According to Us Weekly, they're asking her to get that fake tan sprayed on because she's just too white for
TV.
Well,
they do show some skin. Yeah. It'd probably do her some good.
Yeah.
Hey, my advice for you, Kelly, is hit up your friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and ask him what he's been using. Because I saw him on TV this morning. I swear to God, I thought I was looking at the Thing from the Fantastic Four movie. He was so orange. It's crazy.
How dare you.
All right. Today's celebrity birthdays. How about Glenn Matlock from the Sex Pistols? He is 53 years old today. Downtown Julie Brown, former VJ from MTV, is 46 in our Whatever Happened To department. The beautiful Sarah Chalk from Scrubs is 33. Actress Chandra Wilson from Grey's Anatomy turns 40. She's so great on that show. Mm-hmm. Former porn star Harry Reams, one of the best names in all of showbiz, turns 62 today. And, of course, the great Paul Rubens. His most famous character is Pee-wee Herman, soon to be back on stage in a Los Angeles nightclub after nearly 20 years. Pee-wee is putting back on the suit. Paul Rubens, great actor too when you see him in other movies. He's done a few over the last few years. He is 57 today, and that is the Showbiz Beat.
All right, tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Boss Rutan talking about the International MMA Expo. We have the Movie Beat. Mm-hmm. We have a little guy by the name of Rob Zombie talking about Halloween 2.
Oh, my God.
We have Adam Carolla in studio this week in Rage, and a director named Quentin Tarantino that you may have heard of.
Woo-hoo.
Tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away, though. Cat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including The Killers. We also have that new great song from AFI called Medicaid. We'll hear some MGMT, of course, Linkin Park, Kings of Leon, Sublime, and more next time.